every military analyst from China, Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder.
We have a plan. We know what to do. So let us deliver. We must.
We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe, and we are ready to step up.
The Secretary General of NATO warning about the prospect of war, and he put it in really stark terms. Yeah. He said, we are Russia's next target, and we are already in harm's way. And you sort of wonder why he's saying that now, and it's partly about a message to European people. You do need to spend money on defense, yes, but also getting people ready psychologically as well. Yeah.
Now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values, in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda.
He said a short while ago, in some previous comments earlier, that we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents or great-grandparents endured.
We all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense. We have to step up the military support for Ukraine.
Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen, allied with the British Empire, that's the modern Hitler, the real thing. That is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch.
I want the leader of the European Union, which is now Ursula von der Leyen, to be democratically elected, because now he's not elected. She comes inside the European Parliament and we say yes or no, but I think it's more of a show than actually a vote, because she makes deals with all the political parties from before to vote.
The real problem, it is the nuclear fight, war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could limit, if we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen.
Number one, the war is won. Russia has won. If you want to stop the bleeding, if you want to have some sort of impact on how much further the Russians go in terms of absorbing territory, then sit down and admit that the war is over, that they've won, and hammer out some sort of solution. Because if you don't, this nonsense sponsored by MI6, the CIA, and Mossad and Kiev is going to continue. And as it continues, the Russians will move forward until they're confident that they have secured enough space, not just territory, but space, frankly, that allows them to feel secure as a nation.
That Russia is not going to attack Europe. It's funny for us. It's laughable because we never wanted to attack Europe. Okay, let's put it in writing. But there are some people who are not particularly, shall we say, with us. I don't know, there may be some crooks when everything is being fed to the society and the citizens are scared and they want to hear that we don't have any aggressive plans towards Europe.
Our own GOP senators that are coming out against it. Let me give you a wild guess as to where they are personally invested with in regards to their stock portfolios. You guessed it.
Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. Thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me on Friday. I greatly appreciate it. Of course, we are back and it's been a very, very crazy weekend. I know many of you guys were keeping up with the headlines, or you're looking to get caught up on the headlines because so much was going on. So we'll do just that today. As many of you guys know, it was a very sad weekend. Several terror attacks taking place all around the world. And we'll give you the very latest on all of that. I'll be joined today by Rob Manis. Now, he is someone with a very extensive background within our military. I'm going to have him break down all that happened over the weekend in Syria. As many of you guys know, 3 Americans were killed in an ISIS terror attack. That's according to the Pentagon officials that I've spoken to. They are saying that this was ISIS. It was a lone shooter. They're claiming that in this specific region that they do not have control over that area. The president of Syria does not have control over that area. And so that is the very latest on that. I'll break all of that down, though, of course, with the 32-year Air Force vet, combat vet, in just a bit. I'll also have Robert Spencer on the program as well, because many of you guys know there were several Islamic terrorist attacks, we can say, so far. We have been following what's been going on in Australia. We also know that there was an attack planned in Germany as well. It's absolutely devastating news. Robert Spencer following all of that for us, and he's going to join us as well to break it all down in just a bit. So we've got a lot heading your way. We also wanted to make sure not only that we're going to talk about the Islamic terrorist attacks that have taken place, but apparently, and it's just such a debacle right now, as many of you guys know, there was a tragic shooting over at Brown University over the weekend as well. It's been confirmed that 2 students were killed and 9 others have been wounded. The suspect apparently is still on the loose. Now, people were circulating a lot of different reports that were going around. Unfortunately, though, due to the police as well as the FBI, there was a person of interest that was apprehended, but that person has since been released, and it looks like that person had nothing to do with the attack. So, folks, we still have a terrorist right now running around our country because, well, there's really no camera angles, apparently. Brown University doing an absolutely horrible job at being transparent with the American people, so has the FBI. I mean, they've done an absolute disgusting, repulsive job. Just at being simple, being transparent, trying to explain to the American people what happened at Brown University. We have to constantly go with anonymous sources because our own government won't tell us what's going on. And of course, we don't rely on our government for much. But man, when 2 students are killed at a university in the United States of America, you'd expect a little bit more from our government. They've thrown out this crappy footage. This is the only footage we have of the suspect, who apparently this is him when he was fleeing the scene. We know nothing more than this. I mean, this is all we have. Nothing else. Nothing else. Now, the tragedy, of course, like I mentioned, took the lives of 2 students, one of those students being Ella Cook. She is the VP of the Republican Club over at Brown University. Sadly, her church did announce that yesterday. It's absolutely devastating news. This young woman shouldn't have lost her life in this tragedy. But of course, this is what's going on all around our country right now. Americans are at risk because, well, we've got a bunch of terrorists loose running around our country. Now, obviously, there was these rumors, these reports going around on social media that they believe that the suspect may have screamed something out prior to the shooting. We have not confirmed that. We do not know who they are. They do not know their religious backgrounds. We know nothing. Nothing. Providence police are now detailing specifically the individual that they had in custody who was just released. Well, they're announcing specifically what happened and why they released this person. Take a listen.
Shortly, we will be releasing the person of interest who had been detained earlier today. And the Attorney General can speak a little bit about the rationale for that. But we want to inform the community that that individual will shortly be released from Providence Police.
All right, so Providence Police releasing this individual. Now take a look at these two Truth Social posts, because President Trump over the weekend announced that the suspect was in custody. And this is why there's so much confusion here, because there was this original belief that this was the individual, but apparently it's not. It's not. So President Trump posted on Truth Social that the suspect was in custody and then quickly corrected that error, saying that he's reversing his original statements and that since then realized that this is not the suspect. Now, the suspect is still on the loose. Now, how could this even happen in the first place? How could we allow this to happen in the first place? How is someone who has unleashed an absolutely horrific terror attack on an American university somehow get away? And we only have one crappy video to go with as to how we could ID this person. Well, in clip two, you're going to listen to the evidence that led them to this individual. Take a listen.
The FBI director specifically said in his tweet that it was a tip from Providence Police that led you all to Hampton Inn. Can you confirm if that's true, and what exactly was the evidence that led you to this person of interest?
Yeah, so it was there was a tip that came in, just like we were taking any other tips, and that one came in specifically identifying a person of interest, which was this individual. And so we, our detectives got on it, just like they got on another, but this specific one, it was actually picked up by the FBI, and they followed through with it. And they ended up coming and locating this individual of interest, and at that point, we did a thorough investigation, ended up drafting some search warrants, came up with some evidence, but that evidence was examined, and we didn't have enough, obviously, to be able to prosecute anybody, and so the person was released. Go ahead.
Chief, actually a question.
All right, interesting enough, though, folks, that person has been released. Keep in mind, the evidence, the tip that came in, apparently was handed off to the FBI. So the FBI was the one who ran that tip. Now we have proof that that happened. In just a minute, I'll read that to you. I wanted to, though, go to this clip because John Miller, who was over on CNN the other day, was going out there and detailing specifically how we shouldn't really blame the law enforcement in Rhode Island specifically. This is actually an FBI screw-up. Take a listen.
When the police chief got up, he described, you know, this lead came in overnight to the Providence Police. So that's our lead, Providence PD. But it was handed off to the FBI who ran with the ball. When you look at the people in that hallway where CNN got that exclusive footage, who do you see? You see FBI agents, you see U.S. Marshals, you see a lot of federal officials there. And police were very careful to subtly point out during this press conference this was an FBI-handled lead. And, you know, they got it once it was brought back to the station and the involvement of the Attorney General and so on. Has there been some friction between the Providence Police and the FBI today over this? I'm going to tell you there has been.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the determination has been made that they don't have, not only do they not have enough to hold this person, but they have multiple indicators, starting with his statement when they hit the door, you know, in the early mornings of the hour, that I haven't left the hotel, and forensic tests that don't prove otherwise.
All right, so keep in mind, folks, as he just said there, it sounds like this is an FBI screw-up. Take a look at this tweet that was posted by the FBI director himself, Kash Patel. In it, he talks about they utilize the cellular analyst survey team to provide the geolocation capabilities. And as a result, earlier this morning, FBI Boston Safety Streets Task Force, with the assistance of course, the U.S. Marshals, like he detailed there, detained a person of interest in a hotel room based off a lead that came from Providence PD, confirming what you just heard there. So maybe the president heard directly from the FBI that a suspect was apprehended, and that's the reason why he put out that tweet. Again, folks, this is so insane. I keep telling you time and time again, we catch the FBI director posting things too prematurely without truly vetting it. This is the FBI right now. Now, again, he doesn't say specifically suspect. And it's very important that we say just that. They keep saying person of interest. And then that person's name was somehow leaked. And if he's truly, isn't it, the person who had nothing to do with this, gosh, that is absolutely horrific. So again, right now, we have an individual on the loose right now who just killed two American students over at Brown University. We have no actual footage being released to the public. And when you ask the president, when you ask PD, when you ask the FBI, you get nothing. We have no information. We have no idea what that person screamed. We have no idea who he is, or even if it is a man. I mean, it looks like a man from the back, but you never know these days, of course. So just more failures from our law enforcement agencies. And PD is throwing this back on the FBI and saying that this is actually FBI. Truly it is. So we're going to continue to sit back and watch, but folks, keep in mind, this just highlights yet again that we cannot, I know our audience is well aware of this, but you cannot rely on your government to protect you because they will fail every time. Let's turn to a horrific Islamic terrorist attack that took place over the weekend against U.S. troops. Folks have been reaching out to the Pentagon about this all weekend long, so let's just kind of go through the facts. As many of you guys probably heard, in Syria, there was a lone gunman who did open fire in an ambush on U.S. troops. The ambush itself was a U.S.-Syrian security meeting. And again, this took place on Saturday. Two U.S. Army soldiers were killed from Iowa. They are the Iowa National Guard. One U.S. civilian interpreter also killed. Three U.S. service members so far, and at least two Syrian security personnel have been wounded in all of this. The gunman is described as an ISIS gunman, someone who acted independently. Again, he had ties to the Syrian forces prior. Then they're claiming that he went astray and he all of a sudden joined forces with ISIS. But folks, keep in mind when we talk about this, we're specifically talking about a new government that's being ran by a former Al-Qaeda terrorist. That's what they want you to believe, that he's former. Now, again, I reached out to the Pentagon for a comment on all of this. The one Pentagon official that spoke back, or did respond back to me, I should say, did say that they believe that this was an ISIS terrorist. They do believe that in this specific region that they do not have control. The Syrian government does not have control over this region. That's the reason why this did take place. Now, again, both of those individuals who lost their lives, those National Guardsmen apparently are from Iowa. It's absolutely devastating news. One of those individuals has since been ID'd, Nate Howard, who lost his life. He was ID'd after his father, who is apparently a police officer, did post online regarding his death. It's an absolute tragedy, and it shouldn't have happened in the first place. Many of you guys know the Trump administration has been slowly pulling our forces out of that region specifically. But again, this is what took place. Now, it apparently is an individual, to be more specific on that front. This isn't just a police officer's son. This is a police chief's son in Iowa. And so he did make that statement on Facebook announcing the passing of his son in that Islamic terrorist attack. It's absolutely devastating news. Of course, President Trump reacting to it by not only sending his condolences, but also on top of it all, reminding people, I guess he keeps wanting to drive this point home. This was an ISIS attack against the U.S. and Syria, as if we're somehow allies now in a very dangerous part of Syria. This one is not fully controlled by them. The president of Syria is extremely angry and disturbed by this attack. Now, I find it very, very hard to believe that the former leader of Al-Qaeda, one of the leaders, one of the key individuals, is somehow hurt because Americans have lost their lives in his country from an ISIS terrorist attack. They never tell you, though. They won't tell you specifically, this administration, as to why all of a sudden they believe he's reformed And he's someone that we could actually trust and form an alliance with. They don't tell you why. When he was here in the United States, I didn't hear him apologize for his behavior, what he's done, his actions that was taking place in while he was leading Al-Qaeda. He's actually never formally had to address any of those issues because no one has the cojones to even ask him, not even our administration right now. We just buddy up with him and think that he is someone we could trust all of a sudden. The president telling us, though, that he does feel bad for the American troops who lost their lives and that one interpreter who lost his life as well. Finding that hard to believe. It was a really, really bad weekend, folks. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, you're going through the headlines, you're reading through everything, and there's no clearer way to highlight the Islamic threat and what they've been unleashing on the world, the West specifically, of course, over these last few days. Thankfully, Germany was just spared, of course. Germany, who's obviously had a history of Islamic terrorist attacks since they allowed these jihadists to flood into their countries. German officials arrested five people on Friday for allegedly planning to use vehicles to ram into those who were at the Christmas market. They've arrested three Moroccans, a 56-year-old Egyptian national, who apparently is the ringleader, a 37-year-old Syrian national as well. Investigators, of course, they always have to like lightly tap around the issue. According to the mainstream media, investigators believe the plot was motivated by Islamist ideology. So, of course, five individuals were imported to the region were looking to carry out a terrorist attack. We can't celebrate Christmas anymore because this is what the world has imported. We've imported people that hate the West and have declared holy war on the rest of us. And this is what's going on right now in Germany. As many of you guys know, a lot of the Christmas celebrations have been canceled, even New Year's Eve celebrations. Germany has canceled several of their celebrations, although their media claims that's not the case. There's ample evidence of just that circulating on social media. And it's not just that, Paris as well. Paris has been flooded with these third world migrants. Just as someone who was at the airport, I wouldn't even leave the airport. My flight was delayed and I was like, let me just get out of Paris because walking around and having to stay in Paris that night probably would have been horrific. As many people know, Paris has been completely invaded by third world garbage. And literally their streets are filthy. They have seen an uptick in violence. We see it all the time, the burning of cars and streets. Not from natives, of course, no, by people who they said claimed needed to seek refuge somewhere. They have since destroyed that beautiful city, and now, well, there's no New Year's celebration. And this is what's going on all around the world. We'll coddle, we'll say things just to make sure that we do not infuriate these Islamic terrorists or those who claim to be peacefully practicing Islam. But the problem here isn't New Year's Eve celebrations, isn't the crowds, isn't those who go out to celebrate Christmas. Although they'll tell you that, and in Australia, they'll tell you it's a gun problem, even though only 6% of their population has firearms. And they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. Everyone's dancing around the common theme here, and it's Islam. Let me give you some brief overview, and we'll dive into it at greater length as well in just a bit. But I wanted to give you an overview of what happened over the weekend as well in Australia. 12 people are now dead in Australia, including one shooter, after two gunmen, who are believed to be father and son, opened fire on Bondi Beach on Sunday. It was obviously a group of Jewish people who were doing just that. They were celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. When two Islamic terrorists opened fire, shooting them. Oh, it looks like the number went up to 16 now. It was at 12 this morning. The footage is absolutely disturbing. It's infuriating, and that's the disclaimer you'll get from me. But take a look at these terrorists who decided to open fire. Apparently, according to reports, they're Pakistani. They have gone in and out of Australia, apparently, and back to Pakistan. We're allowed back into Australia. No word as to how that's even possible. But those two individuals, one obviously dead, one still alive, took the lives of 16 individuals, Jewish people, who were just simply trying to enjoy their holiday, which everyone should be able to do. Regardless of your religion, you should be able to celebrate with your family and loved ones. But that's not the case in this new world that we've imported, this horrific, they call it a religion. I don't think it's a religion at all. Families all across now Australia have lost their loved ones because of this horrific Islamic terrorist attack. And so many people won't tell you it's Islam. I sat back and watched our own FBI director and our vice president of the United States refuse to say that this was an Islamic terrorist attack. They said terrorist attack. They completely avoided the word Islam. Now, why is that? Why is that? See, this is the problem. This is the problem. Oh, and take a look at this one. More information piling in. One of the suspects who allegedly pledged their alliance to ISIS was probed by terror cops 6 years before he and his dad killed 15 people, which is now 16. We can't say Islam. Oh, there's no proof of that. They always wait, dance around the issue. You know, Laura Loomer has been calling it out, and I have to give credit when credit's due. Her and Amy Mech, I sat there with Laura, as many of you guys saw, at the Pentagon, and she kept grilling people as to why do we avoid the word Islam when there's a terrorist attack that's carried out. And the disgraceful FBI director, Kash Patel, who apparently is Hindu, has refused to use the word Islam, on several occasions. Obviously, in the latest terrorist attack being carried out in Australia, refused to say that word. Islam. You need more proof. The fact that he's Pakistani, not enough. The fact that he's literally carrying out jihad, not enough. The fact that it's quite obvious what's going on here as he opens fire on Jews laying out on the beach and celebrating Hanukkah on the first night of Hanukkah with their loved ones, not enough for our FBI director. He'll jump to conclusions on everything else, but he can't jump to the Islam conclusion. No. Can't offend them. Again, reminder, apparently he says that he's Hindu. Back in April of this year, there was, I believe, nearly 24 Hindus who were killed, who were slaughtered by Islamic terrorists for simply enjoying vacation, trying to sit back and relax when Islamic terrorists ran up, I believe it was a resort, and started slaughtering these people. Asked them to strip to make sure if they had tattoos, they knew that they weren't Muslim, and they were quickly executed and brutally executed. But our own FBI director couldn't use the word Islam to detail the terrorist who killed his own people. And then there's the individuals in Michigan. Remember that? That ISIS-inspired terror plot, which he was so proud to come forward and tell the American people that they had prevented. Well, guess what? He said it prematurely, when they only arrested 2 of the 6 adult suspects, and the other 4 had to be later apprehended. One of them was even fleeing the country, trying to head over to Syria to join ISIS, when he learned that the FBI director had released the information about his friends being arrested. Cowards, all of them. Shame on our own vice president, who refuses to use the word Islam to describe the latest terror attack that took place. Folks, we got more coming up just in just a few moments, specifically in detail about the brave man who stepped up to the plate and did tackle one of those Islamic terrorists. We'll hear the very latest from his parents in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. There's more to discuss in just a bit.
It's hard to believe Christmas 2025 is almost here. And our 12 days of Christmas sale is going to end this Sunday at midnight. Site-wide on all the amazing supplements, the huge, giant, biggest selection of Patriot apparel, and more is 40% off. And that is a huge deal with apparel. That's on average, it's marked up 55-60%. So you're getting this stuff almost at cost. A gigantic selection. It's an adventure to wear these shirts out in public. We've got the 1776 Classic Americana line, all the Trump gear, the InfoWars gear, a lot of comedy fun stuff, a lot of really, really cool hoodies, hats, shirts, you name it. It is an adventure. If you haven't experienced it yet, wear this stuff out in public. Now, you'll get a lot of love, but leftist areas need to watch your back. They'll probably try to kill you. But the point is, it is an adventure to wear your Patriot uniform, your colors out in public. But the big thing that you want to take advantage of is 40% off on all the supplements. And a lot of these have been sold out, like Ultra Methylene Red. Super popular, proprietary, original formula, incredible. Goes great with Methylene Blue. Limited supply, back in stock. Bovine colostrum, limited supply, back in stock. We just got stocked up on a whole bunch of other great items that have sold out as well. So take advantage of these deals right now at thealexshowstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. They're close to shutting down InfoWars. We're still fighting on. But we have the Alex Jones Network, backup systems, and more. So when you go to thealexshowstore.com, I don't own that. Our sponsor does, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network. And that will ensure that myself, the other host, and the crew stay on the air going into 2026 and beyond, when our voice and our analysis and our guests and our research is absolutely more critical than ever, not just the general public, but people in government, not just here in America, but around the world, and major corporations are really listening to us. We're having a major effect. So thank you for being the reason we've been on the air. You are the InfoWar, and the InfoWar continues on as we the people fight. But we can't do it without your support. So do your Christmas shopping at thealexshowstore.com and get great products that enrich your life and your health, and keep the tip of the spear on the air. It's a 360 win. It's a no-brainer. Thanks for your past support. Please take action now at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
How is Alex doing?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. Even Joey lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We're trying to catch you up on all the things that have been happening all across the country, all across the world. As many of you guys know, it was a horrific, horrific weekend. Sadly, several Islamic terrorist attacks taking place, 2 American troops and an interpreter being killed in Syria. We'll keep bringing you the very latest on that in a bit. Plus, in the next hour, I'll have 2 guests joining me to react separately on each of these issues, because it's very critical that we discuss all things related to Islam, obviously, issue here, but also why we are still right now in Syria. Before we get into all of this, I wanted to remind our audience that today is the last day to guarantee shipping if you want a gift for Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Final day today to order and receive all of your Christmas gifts before the holidays. Of course, many of you guys know it is 40% off the entire store right now in regards to supplements, apparel, media, and more. Now is the time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you get your Christmas gifts. I'm telling you folks, we only have a few hours left. Plus, every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're going to be entered into the giveaway, which includes the Ford F-150 Raptor, plus 10,000. I'm pitching in too much money here. $10,000 in cash as well. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, make sure you get your gifts in for the holidays. Now is the best time to do just that. And it is an incredible deal, 40% off the entire store. Again, over at thealexjonesstore.com. Stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, let's keep detailing specifically what took place, as many of you guys know, in Australia over the weekend. As many of you guys know, it was the first night of Hanukkah over the weekend, which sadly means that over apparently 16 Jews were killed while they were trying to just enjoy the holiday on the beach. Now, we're learning more and more about the two terrorists. They're obviously Islamic terrorists. They are from Pakistan, according to reports. One of them was apparently being questioned 6 years ago by terrorist law enforcement, I guess, in Australia. Apparently, they didn't have enough on him to arrest him and deport him. He's been going back and forth, according to other reports, to Pakistan and Australia, and they still let him back in, sadly. They opened fire on people who were just simply celebrating the holiday with their family, which every person, regardless of religion, should be able to do. You should be able to go to a beach and enjoy your time with your loved ones. But sadly, since we've imported Islam into all these countries, you can't do that anymore. You can't. To open fire, it looks like on a bridge, or opening fire on individuals just laying out on the beach. The video footage is absolutely gut-wrenching, but there's a little bit of positive news in regards to all of this. One brave man did step up to the plate and did actually tackle one of those Islamic terrorists. Ahmed El Ahmad is his name, individual who is being praised for disarming one of those attackers. Now, he was shot later in the arm and the leg, as you can see here. Just take a look at the video. He is a brave, brave man. Apparently, he does have a background in law enforcement, and so that is the reason why he did act. His parents, since he's in the hospital right now, did speak to the media, and I want to play clip four for you because both his father and his mother did praise their son and his brave act of heroism. Take a listen.
He has a fruit shop that sells fruit and other produce. He's been here since 2006, and he's an Australian citizen. What happened is, his friend told him, let's go have coffee at Bondi. They got there and were shocked to see armed men firing their weapons and terrorists. Their lives were in danger. He noticed one of the armed men at a distance from him hiding behind a tree. My son is a hero. He served with the police and in the central security forces, and he has the impulse to protect people. When he saw people lying on the ground and the blood everywhere, immediately his conscience and his soul compelled him to pounce on one of the terrorists and to rid him of his weapon. At the same moment, the armed man's other friend was on the bridge, or whoever he is. I feel pride and honor because my son is a hero of Australia.
I'm proud that my son was helping people. He saved lives, souls. God would not harm him because he was a do-gooder. My son has always been brave, helps people. He's like that. He saw they were dying and people were losing their lives. And when that guy ran out of ammo, he took it from him, but he was hit. We pray that God saves him.
It looks like he will recover, of course, but that is a brave, brave man who deserves the highest honor possible for stepping up to the plate. And it's important to highlight just that because, folks, obviously when there's a situation like this, sadly, a lot of people just don't step up to the plate. Looks like law enforcement, according to an individual who is apparently a key witness in all of this, claimed, we'll play clip seven for you next, claimed that police decided not to engage with the shooter. Now, keep in mind, Australia has some of the toughest gun laws. They have restricted these gun laws. I'll go into great detail on that in just a bit. But when police were supposed to, remember those are the good guys with guns who are supposed to protect you, and you shouldn't have a firearm because law enforcement will do it for you. Well, according to this witness, they waited 20 minutes before engaging with these Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, it was two shooters, one on the bridge, one under the bridge, just started to shoot for 20 minutes. They shoot, change the magazine and just shoot. Simple as that. 20 minutes, was four policemen there. Nobody gave fire back. Nothing, like they froze. It looked like 20 minutes, and they shoot, the guy changed magazine. I look at him all the time. I was doing my babies under me, and I look at that. and it's just rifle and a pistol, and just shoot. And the other one was under. They start to come close to the audience. One of the people come, took his rifle and shoot him. That's one of them. That's what I saw. I didn't know how much I saw, but...
Who were they targeting?
Oh, all the crowd. Anyone. Jewish. Just shoot. Doesn't matter who. Men, all, kids, everyone. Was no...
Did they say anything?
I couldn't hear. Like, the shooting was so loud, I couldn't hear. They say, I was too far. Like, he was on the bridge, I was near the tent, so... But I saw, I look at him, I look what he shot, I look at his rifle, he aimed, he did, he really, like, take his time. He should take his time. And four policemen there didn't give fire back. I don't understand why. Why?
Because they're a bunch of cowards. You see, a lot of people take on these positions. They'll take away your guns, of course, and they'll pretend like they're going to be the first line of defense if something like this does happen. But then when it actually happens and you are the only individuals armed and supposed to be ready to protect, you get a little scared. You get a little scared. Now, we'll never know how many lives they could have saved if they would have engaged. And again, this is one witness claiming that they didn't do anything. But it's important to note, again, Australia has been, for many, many years now, been crunching down. They have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. As many of you guys know, they did, obviously, restrict guns years ago. These limitations began back in 96, it looks like. As many of you guys know, there was the Arthur Massacre, which took place, and that is the result of those laws. Now, again, they don't view firearms possessions as a right. They specifically just think that they could restrict it. Thank God for the Constitution, man, because, I mean, this government has been absolutely egregious when it comes to 2A. I guess they don't have 2A, so gun rights, we'll just say. And if you want to know why Australia is in this position now, well, it's because their prime minister, Anthony Albanese, is an individual who obviously is a globalist elitist who doesn't really understand the core issue. Or maybe he does and he just wants to dance around it. I always give people the easy way out by claiming that they're ignorant, but I truly think that this individual obviously understands what's going on. Take a listen to the prime minister in clip 5 because it's very specific in this. He is potentially trying to spin this, which is obviously an Islamic terrorist attack, on, get this, right-wing extremism. Take a listen.
We take ASIO's advice very seriously. We work closely with them. We receive regular updates as well. The Director General of ASIO has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well. And we continue to work closely with our security agencies.
The rise of right-wing extremism groups. Yeah, that's where they're going with this. You see, this is the problem here. This is why they do what they do. If they could sit there and blame those right-wing extremist groups rather than their own immigration policies that brought these terrorists into their country, well, then maybe they could do things like crunch down your personal rights. We saw Australia do it during the pandemic. As many of you guys know, they used COVID as an excuse to crunch down and attack their own citizens and take away their rights. And they've done it time and time again. Every time there's a terrorist attack, instead of actually blaming the individuals who carried it out, they go after the weapons. They go after the weapons. So as many of you guys probably knew already, this was going to be used to the prime minister's likings. He is exactly doing that. He's actually in clip 6 calling on tougher gun laws because the guns are the problem, not the Islamic terrorists, of course. Take a listen.
And I want to conclude finally by saying that the government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, I will put on the agenda of the National Cabinet tougher gun laws, including limits on the number of guns that can used or licensed by individuals a review of licenses over a period of time. People's circumstances change. People can be radicalized over a period of time. Licenses should not be in perpetuity. And checks, of course, making sure that those checks and balances are in place as well. I'll take to National Cabinet this afternoon a proposal to empower agencies to examine what can be done in this area. Quite clearly, the Howard government's gun laws have made an enormous difference in Australia and are a proud moment of reform, quite rightly, achieved across the Parliament with bipartisan support. If we need to toughen these up, if there's anything we can do, I'm certainly up for it, and I hope to get National Cabinet on board for that this afternoon as well.
Now, of course he's up for it. Of course he's up for stricter gun laws. Because the guns are the problem, not the people you've imported over the years. That is what they want you to believe. I'll remind you folks, again, Australia has some of the strictest gun laws currently on the books in the world. In the world. And also let me remind you that these individuals, one of those individuals, even though the information is obviously brand new, we're still doing some digging, one of those individuals was actually questioned by police because they believe that there might have been some terrorism ties here. And according to other reports, he was traveling back and forth to Pakistan. Why the heck would you let him back into your country? Is he actually an asylum seeker? Well, we don't know. We don't know how he claimed status to get into Australia. And if he did claim status by saying his life was in danger and he needed to seek refuge in Australia because he couldn't head back to his homeland, well, then why is he traveling back and forth? We have a lot of questions that are worth answering. Will they answer those? Probably not, though. Because another government failure, but they get to benefit from these government failures because now they can sit there and say, well, we need to crunch down on your rights. And although Australia doesn't believe gun rights are Australian rights, the rest of us who have sat back and watched what's been going on over the year truly believe that every person, I believe every person, should have a right to have a firearm, protect themselves. But these governments don't do that. Just to give you some background, back in Australia, prior to the mid-90s, about 15% of Australian households owned firearms. Currently now it's at about 6%. 6%! Majority of all of these gun cases were, or I guess these gun restrictions were rolled out specifically after, again, that terror attack we talked about, Port Arthur massacre, which took the lives of 35 individuals and injured 23. So they used that terror attack to crunch down and to stop people from owning firearms in Australia. Now the government is supposed to be your greatest protector in Australia. And according to that one witness, police didn't confront the Islamic terrorists that were opening fire on individuals laying out on the beach. He claims that for over 20 minutes, they just sat back and watched it all carry out because they froze. Now, one unarmed individual did tackle that one shooter. Imagine if he had a firearm on him. Probably wouldn't have had to put his life at risk by just tackling him and hoping for the best. Again, it appears it's really hard to see who this individual is, who he's going after. Whether it's the father or the son, it appears to possibly be the father who is now, I believe, deceased. But again, these governments aren't putting out the information. They don't want you knowing the truth. We're going to continue to cover the story throughout the day. As many of you guys know, Robert Spencer is going to be joining me in just a bit in the next hour to dig into this story more because, folks, there's more here. And Australia is going to be using this as a way to crunch down on guns rather than the Islamic terrorists that they've imported. By the way, over the last few years, they've imported, just in case you wanted to know, I went through the stats just to kind of understand how bad things are right now in Australia. In Australia right now, they've imported over 600,000 Muslim migrants. Now, right now, Australia's population sits at about 27 million. They have seen their population boom, though, due to this mass migration. And obviously, this didn't have to happen in the first place if the government actually protected their people, but they don't do. They claim they'll do it, but they don't actually do it. Let's turn to a little bit of an update in regards to the other Islamic terrorist attack that took place here on U.S. soil. As many of you guys know, an individual who claimed alliance to ISIS did shoot two National Guardsmen, one sadly losing her life. Another one was apparently has made a positive recovery. And according to the New York Post, the West Virginia National Guardsman, who was hurt during that ambush, has made a miraculous progress so far. According to his mother, she's been, you know, giving updates. His family's been giving updates. Andrew Wolf is his name. Many of you guys know he was in critical condition, but it looks like he's doing a lot better. Thank God. He's showing huge improvements. According to politicians, he was sitting in a chair. His right side is getting better. He gave his mother a kiss. He's been able to communicate, which is great news. As many of you guys know, he was just recently sworn in and he was just patrolling when he was shot in the head. Thank God he has been able to communicate, it looks like. And he is making a recovery. We don't know how extensive, obviously, these long-term health issues will be for him. But it's a bit positive compared to the overview, the projection that was originally reported in regards to their recovery. So we can at least say that is positive, positive news. It was a really sad weekend. It was a really, really sad weekend. I'll give you an update too. I know many of you at home were late last night were trying to keep your eye on the headlines because we learned that Rob Reiner, as many of you guys know, he's obviously a very liberal activist. He's also a director, a producer, an actor. Well, the reports that there were two individuals stabbed or dead at his home, it turns out to be both him and his wife were both murdered at his home. Now, people, the outlet People, is claiming that it's the suspect is a person of interest, I should say, is their own son, who apparently struggled with drug addiction issues. PD has not confirmed just that. They have kept this pretty quiet for right now, but they're claiming that it is a potential homicide. We do believe that the two were stabbed to death. And again, People Magazine is the one who is saying they have exclusive sources claiming that his son, Nick, was involved, noting his past struggles with addiction. Although we have not confirmed just that, that is what that outlet is reporting. Apparently also, according to other reports, Rob's daughter was the one who discovered both of her deceased parents in the home. The LAPD has confirmed the death investigation. They're currently looking, obviously, to learn more information, and we'll bring that to you when we learn of just that. The family put out a statement, though, saying that they are obviously devastated by the tragic passing of both Michelle and Rob Reiner. We are heartbroken by the sudden loss, and we ask for privacy during this unbelievably difficult time. Regardless of his politics, folks, no one deserves that to happen to them. Absolutely no one. So his family will remain in my prayers, and I hope yours as well. It was a very sad weekend. A lot of stories, and I'm trying to, you know, navigate them all. We're trying to report on all of them to make sure that you guys are all well aware of what was happening all across the country. We're going to go through more as well. There was devastating news. We could probably play this for you in clip 8 of a woman who was just walking in Georgia when suddenly a suspect who they have not yet apprehended poured acid on her. What was she? Just literally walking, folks. Just walking and enjoying the day. Take a listen to the very latest in clip 8.
A Georgia woman suffering horrifying chemical burns after being attacked in a popular Savannah park. Photos from her hospital bed showing bandages around her entire head. We spoke to her son and best friend who've been by her bedside.
I don't know that I'll ever be able to unhear just the terror in her voice.
Police say the attack happened around 8 Wednesday night as Ashley Wasilewski walked through Forsyth Park after a church program.
She felt and could see in the shadow from one of the lamps in the park somebody very close to her, and she turned around and went to push him, and then just in that split second was like, why is he pouring water on me?
Within seconds, Wasilewski's clothing started disintegrating.
She looked down and she could see that her pants were burning off of her.
She was later flown to a burn center in Augusta. The FBI now working to identify that chemical that left her so badly scarred. Savannah's mayor posting this photo of what he calls a person of interest, asking the public to help identify him. Forsyth Park is an iconic tourist attraction.
Forsyth Park, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Even featured in films like 1997's Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Savannah police now stepping up patrols at parks across the city and saying that based on their initial investigation, the victim does not know her attacker.
We have no evidence that this is part of a larger pattern.
Meanwhile, Wasilewski's friends and family are focused on her mental and physical recovery.
Having someone sneak up behind you at random is going to follow her for a while. I mean, it's going to be hard to deal with, and there's going to be some traumatic response to it.
Aaron Gilchrist, NBC News, Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, thanks for watching.
As many of you guys know, the news itself is absolutely devastating, but police are still looking for that suspect. Now, again, the suspect appears to be a black man. We don't have much in the way of details. Mainstream media completely neglecting it, at least today. The Today Show was nice enough to cover the story. But many outlets just completely neglecting to bring any information on that front. Folks, I just received an update, and I'm going to bring you this breaking news in just a second. It looks like the FBI is claiming to have disturbed a credible terror threat. Over the weekend, allegedly 4 members of a radical pro-Palestine extremist group were plotting a terrorist attack to carry out bombings, it looks like, in Los Angeles. The FBI told Fox News Digital that the members self-identified as a part of a radical group called the Turtle Island Liberation Front, an extremist group motivated by pro-Palestinian views and anti-law enforcement views. According to the FBI, they were allegedly planning to coordinate bombing attacks on New Year's Eve, using explosives, targeting 5 locations across L.A. Now, again, it looks like the FBI claiming they have prevented that terror attack from taking place. I'll bring you more details as we learn more, but that news coming in just this very second over at Fox, claiming that exclusive, of course. So we'll keep bringing you updates on that as it develops. We've got our eye on all the press conferences happening all around the country, so I'll bring you the latest in just a bit, but folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We have 2 incredible guests joining us in the next hour of the program. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Today's the last day, and we're going to guarantee Christmas shipping. So that means you'll get it before Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com. It is 40% off today. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now.
I tried methylene blue, and instantly I bought a 9-month supply after that. I bought the Optimal Human Super Greens. I bought a 4-month supply of that. I bought Power Plant Plus, Methyl Drive, and Nitric Boost. And when I started all of this, I was 260 pounds, and I'm now down to 200 pounds exactly. And my testosterone when I started was 350. I was a low-T, overweight, useless, straight Christian male. My testosterone 2 weeks ago tested at 1,004. So these products really work. And when you hear someone say, the methylene blue is energy, but it's not like coffee. I was yelling at my radio, my TV or my phone going, what do you mean by that? What does that mean? Is it like a drug? Like, is it crack? Like, what are you talking? Listen, folks, whoever's on the fence about trying methylene blue, if you're 30 years or older, it's like waking up in your 20s. Like, I'm getting the chills just talking about it. I bought a 9-month supply of methylene blue because of how well it worked. I can't express the gratitude I have for you guys over there and producing these kind of products. And shout out to the late Art Bell for turning me on to Alex Jones in 1995. So thank you very much. These products really, really work.
Well, we appreciate you calling in about the products and much, much more, of course. We are thankful for that. So thank you, Doug, for staying on hold. I know it's been a while, so we appreciate you for that. So I want to remind you all again, as you heard, to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because everyone's bragging about the items we have there right now. And they're 40% off. You got to head on over right now, this very second, thealexjonesstore.com. We're selling out of a lot of your incredible items. They're still fully in stock, but they're going to sell out soon if you don't get it now. Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. All right, there's a lot that's been going on all across the world. We're digging into all of the headlines, as many of you guys know. Colonel Rob Manis is going to be joining the program in just a bit. We've got a lot to discuss with him in regards to those three Americans killed in that Islamic terrorist attack in Syria. As many of you guys know, if you watched the show earlier, we went through the details in regards to just that. The news is devastating, but we did lose, sadly, two U.S. troops and an individual who was an interpreter as well in that attack. Several others have been injured as well. We'll bring you the latest on that, but that is the reason why we have Colonel Rob Manis joining us today to weigh in on just that. And as many of you guys know, we just got the latest update in regards to a terror plot that was apparently just prevented. Again, we'll wait till I get the actual criminal complaints before we dig into all of this, but this is what the FBI is telling Fox. And again, the FBI has a habit of overhyping these incidences and Fox not asking any follow-up questions to push back on their claims. But as of right now, this is what the agency claimed to Fox News. They claimed that they stopped and prevented a terrorist attack over the weekend from being carried out on New Year's Eve. Apparently, this is a pro-Palestine militia group. This group was looking to carry out several bombings all across L.A. The group is apparently called Turtle Island Liberation Front. Never heard of them before, but apparently this is a pro-Palestinian sympathizing group, anti-police, anti-government group. Again, they were claiming that they were planning on making homemade explosives, IEDs, and putting them at five different sites throughout Los Angeles on New Year's Eve. So this is the type of garbage we have going on throughout our country and all over the world. We can't even celebrate and enjoy the holidays anymore. As many of you guys know, on New Year's Day, there was that, again, Islamic terrorist attack that was carried out in New Orleans. And it just seems to be ramping up. It seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. So we see that the FBI has possibly prevented a massive, massive terror attack from taking place. We will wait for the criminal complaint, though, before I give you an honest shake on this one. Because, again, the FBI has a habit of telling you something that's not exactly true. So when we get that criminal complaint, we'll make sure to read through it and bring you the very latest on that front as well. We're continuing to dive into a couple of other key stories, too. In the second hour of the show, as many of you guys know, Robert Spencer will be joining us as well to discuss all of the Islamic terrorist attacks that have been happening over these last few days. Specifically, though, in Australia, we detailed how there were Jews who were just trying to simply enjoy Hanukkah, the first night of Hanukkah, on a beach when two Islamic terrorists opened fire. Again, it's another police failure, but Australia is blaming guns and not the actual individuals who decided to carry out that ISIS-inspired terror plot. That's according to reports, of course. The government, again, not blaming their own personal mass migration issues, but instead shifting the blame to the firearms, which they've heavily restricted for years now, since the mid-90s. And for some reason now, they want to sit here. And not some reason, that's sarcasm. Don't eat me up on social media about that one. We all know why they're doing this, but they tend to use these types of attacks to crunch down on gun rights. Now, although the Australian government doesn't consider it a right to have a firearm, most people who do want to defend their families would consider it to be a right. Would consider it to be a right. Because we all know that the bad guys are the ones that are getting all the firearms. And if you're sitting around waiting for police to protect you and your loved ones, it's not going to happen. We just played that clip for you of that eyewitness who claims that for over 20 minutes, even while he was loading a magazine, according to the witness, apparently, law enforcement didn't engage with these two terrorists. They froze. Now, again, that's only one person stating that, but don't expect to hear that from law enforcement. They'll never tell you that because that would really ruin their gun grab. Again, only 6% of Australians have firearms. 6%. 6%. Also, there's a new update in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. Apparently, the footage is deleted. Now, I asked the J6 chairman, Barry Loudermilk, when we had him on this show, about specifically 8 hours worth of footage on three cameras. He told me they're still getting stuff, but it looks like he just told Benny Johnson and that it's been deleted. all supposed to just carry on like everything's okay, of course. I'll play those clips for you because obviously it is insane. Also, the FBI just recently rehired and then fired FBI whistleblower Steve Friend. I'll give you the latest on that report as well. So there's more to dive into, of course, in the next portion of the show. So do not go anywhere. We got more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com because right now we have 40% off on the entire website. And it's the final day to guarantee your shipping to receive it by, well, before Christmas. Head on over.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, a legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're all joining us today. It was a very chaotic weekend, a lot going on all around the world. Specifically, though, our troops. It was devastating to learn of the news in Syria that three Americans lost their lives. It was, according to the Pentagon, two troops, National Guardsmen from Iowa, and an interpreter who, according to their account, the Pentagon's account, there was a lone gunman who apparently in an ambush did carry out this attack. Now, the Pentagon telling me that they do believe this lone gunman was acting on behalf of ISIS. That's what they're claiming right now, that we're waiting for more information. But apparently this individual was somebody who used to also work and fight with the Syrian forces. So they're claiming that he parted ways and has since gone to fight for ISIS, and that this is in a region where the current Syrian government doesn't have any control. And the administration has been very persistent on pushing that issue, that this isn't a region that they do not have control over. Now, President Trump at Clip 12 reacted to the announcement that these three Americans did lose their lives due to this Islamic terrorist attack in Syria. Take a listen.
We mourn the loss of three great patriots in Syria. You know how it happened, an ambush, terrible. We also have three wounded. They seem to be doing pretty well. But we mourn the loss. These are great, three great people. And it's just a terrible thing. Syria, by the way, was fighting along with us. The president, the new president of Syria is, as they told me, and I'm not surprised, he's devastated by what happened. This was an ISIS attack on us and Syria, and again, we mourn the loss, and we pray for them and their parents and their loved ones.
Now, I'm struggling to believe that the Syrian president is devastated by the news that Americans were killed in Syria. Just keep in mind, folks, this is one of the former leaders of al-Qaeda. It was an individual who was obviously very high up. We actually had a $10 million bounty on his head, and suddenly now he is an ally of the United States, which I really do truly struggle with. I cannot believe that this individual is really devastated to learn that this ISIS lone gunman carried out this attack, taking the lives of three Americans and injuring several others as well during this ambush. Now, again, like I keep telling you, the Pentagon not giving much in the way of information, but telling me specifically that this attack took place in an area where the Syrian president does not have control, and their initial assessment will likely be carried, that it was likely carried out by an ISIS terrorists. So that's what they're telling me right now. I still do not have further information. I know there were some reports of a name circulating online. I asked. I have not yet heard back. They did tell me they would follow up with me on that front, though. Joining me to help kind of dive into all of this related to Syria and why the United States is even there in the first place, please welcome to the show, Colonel Rob Manis. He is the host of the Rob Manis Show, which airs on Worldview Tube Network. And of course, folks, he is available Monday through Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time as well. welcome to the show, Colonel Manis. It's good to have you on the show. You know, we're excited to have you here. I know you have an extensive background. Although you are retired, you have served 32 years in our Air Force as a combat vet. So we are privileged to have you on this program today and to get your input on all of this. But obviously the news is devastating. And to hear that three Americans lost their lives in Syria, two troops and one individual being an interpreter, is very, very upsetting. There are also several others who have been injured in all of this. They're claiming it's a lone gunman who was acting on behalf of ISIS. But they're also claiming that the Syrian president is both devastated and doesn't have control over the region. What do you make of just that initial announcement coming out of the Pentagon?
You know, there's some on-the-ground reporting, as you pointed out, that says this individual is somebody that was inside the Syrian security forces. And then the government reporting, even the information that's being fed to the president, clearly says that it's isolated to the ISIS network. So we have a lot of questions to get answered there, Brianna. And thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, we mourn the loss of these two soldiers and this American interpreter. The soldiers were, by the way, were Iowa National Guardsmen, Army National Guard. And it's just devastating that this has happened. But I have questioned the mission inside Syria for U.S. Armed Forces the entire time they've been there, as have many, many other folks, both that have military experience and experience in these wars and folks outside of that professional sphere of influence. And the question is never answered. What is the vital national interest today of the United States of America that says we should put American soldiers' lives at risk in Syria? No one can answer that question. Look, I understand the president is trying to bring the Syrian government, which is led by, as you pointed out, by an Al-Qaeda member, a founder of al-Nusra, okay, linked to ISIS also. I mean, this guy, he's had a bounty on his head for $10 million because he killed American soldiers. And that is a question that's really never answered and has been set aside. And I understand the president's effort to try to pull Syria back into the community of nations so that they're not killing themselves and not sending people around the world and not killing Americans that are in proximity to them, or Jewish people or Lebanese Christians. But that continues to happen. And we see these videos and this reporting over and over again from inside that country. So we have a lot of work to do there. But the biggest work, I think, is withdraw American troops from this. There is no place for Americans to be involved in a meeting like this in an area that the Syrian government can't control either.
Yeah. Well, that's actually my next question, because it's really hard for, I think, most of us. I mean, we're familiar with, obviously, the brief history over the last recent years of Syria and what's been going on over there with the regime change. But in regards to why we still have U.S. troops there, it's really hard for most Americans to understand just that. I want to play this clip 13 of Senator Rand Paul kind of calling out the issue as to why we still currently have U.S. troops on the ground in the region. Take a listen.
Well, the soldiers who died are obviously heroes fighting for their country. The purpose of whether or not they should be there or not, though, is a big question. In the first Trump administration, Trump proposed removing those troops, and the neocons around him, the traditional conservatives around him, said, oh, no, no, we won't let you. They actually passed a law trying to prevent him from removing troops from Syria. I was with the president in the first administration that a couple of hundred troops in Syria are more of a tripwire than a strategic asset. I don't think they deter war. I think they basically, because Americans are targets and jihadists around the world think they can get great glory and provoke terrorism by killing an American, that they become potential targets and tripwires to more interaction. Yes, the people who killed our soldiers should be punished, but really we need to reassess whether or not we should have troops in Syria to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's what most Americans want. And when I look over, I know Dan Caldwell, he's one of the great individuals who was actually formerly working over at the Pentagon, but sadly was wrongfully being accused of being a leaker. But he's put out some great information on all of this. And he tweeted out yesterday that earlier this year, the Trump administration started a withdrawal plan of U.S. troops from Syria. They should complete that process. Why is this taking so long? And I mean, why are we even there in the first place?
Well, it's because we have a competition and struggle internally, Brianna, and Dan is an expert in this area too, because he's actually lived it and really, I think, is continuing to live it as somebody that's outside the government now, helping develop policy that's presented to government individuals. And that this policy of removing our troops from Syria was fought against by a large portion of our foreign policy and national security apparatus when President Trump tried to do it in his first administration. And now he started the process again. It's been slowed down again. It's the same crowd that wants us to risk putting American boys and girls on the border of Ukraine and Russia because they care about where that borderline is when it's not in the vital national interest of the United States. And that's a quote from Barack Obama, where that border is. We don't really care and have an interest in that at all. And we shouldn't be risking a nuclear war in that area. And the same kind of thing is here. You know, these folks continuously want to have American presence. So there are lives at risk because it generates dollars into that defense budget that is in the process of being passed. Again, it's nearly $1 trillion with no DOGE cuts in it that are being codified that Elon Musk found, even though they were a fairly small amount. I think $164 million was the last number I saw, which is teeny tiny for the U.S. Department of War's budget. So that battle is internal to us. Plus, it's supported on the outside by organizations like the Atlantic Council. NATO partners want to see us continue to pour blood and treasure into Europe so that they don't have to risk their economies and their governments and their people to do it. And the president's national security strategy is pushing back on that and saying, no, we're going to reset it. And I think that's part of the reason why he has started the withdrawal of troops from the Middle East area, because it's time for these folks to get control of their own territory, for us to encourage and establish economic relationships from a realist foreign policy perspective instead of these somewhat wacky liberal foreign policy perspectives that like to try to create democracies in parts of the world that will never create democracies in our image.
Yeah, and it's really upsetting that we continue to do this. And I wanted to ask you, you know, Colonel Manis, specifically, I want to ask you about Syria, because right now President Trump has really been pushing Syria as a potential ally. I know that's like a very strong way to kind of word it, but they have been very aggressive at defending the Syrian leader right now, and even bring him into the White House, bring him to the Oval Office. But they're specifically saying he doesn't have control over the region and saying that he's devastated. Do you truly believe that's the case going on right now? Right now,
I don't believe that for one moment, Brianna. Look, there's a concept called taqiyya in Islamism that says you can lie as long as the objective of Islamism, which is to conquer wherever believers are in a place of unbelievers. Their goal is to completely take that over, and you can lie to achieve that objective. And I don't trust anybody that's from that part of the world that believes in that type of ideology. And you notice I didn't use the word religion.
Yeah.
Islamism is an ideology. It's a form of government. It is tyrannical. It denies the classical rights of the individual that America stands for. And we have no business whatsoever pouring resources into that government at all until it proves itself that it's not an Islamist government. And they're very far from that. As you know, and as I've said, and you've said, Jelani Sharaa, whatever his name is now, has a long history and background of founding organizations that are Islamist and allied with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra as a leader in those organizations. And the United States has no business with troops on the ground in that country at all whatsoever, let alone in an area going to a leadership meeting in a place like Palmyra. I'll say it again. I think this individual, the initial reporting, is looking like it's pretty reliable that he has been within the Syrian security forces. And this whole thread about how he's moved over to ISIS, I find it hard to believe, because he was allowed to get inside the communications and the logistics and the location information loop and be there in order to perpetrate this attack on these Americans.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I'm sure we're going to learn more. But as of right now, you know, I've got a lot of questions for the Pentagon that we're still waiting to hear back on, but we'll continue to ask them these questions because, again, that is very, very important to understand how this individual was able to carry out this Islamic terrorist attack. And I'm going to keep saying it, Islamic terrorist attack. You know, it really infuriates me that members of this administration, and Colonel, I'll let you weigh in on this, fail to actually call these things out for what they are. We're afraid to use the word Islam when it's a terrorist attack. You know, we saw what happened in Australia over the weekend. And as you see, the footage was rapidly popping up all over social media. Sadly, the FBI director, Kash Patel, as well as sadly, our vice president, J.D. Vance, were afraid to use the word Islam. And, you know, sometimes they say, oh, we're just waiting for more evidence to come out before we could use a term like that, because we don't want to mischaracterize these types of terrorist attacks. But then they don't use it at a later date. And it's really infuriating to see that this is our current administration. You know, they're coddling, obviously, now the regime that's operating in Syria, the same operation that was supposed to apparently lead to democracy in Syria. In Syria, we heard from, you know, Joe Biden when he was occupying the White House that Syrians are going to be able to vote for their next leader now. This is a good thing. And they tried to praise this when, obviously, there was the regime change over there. But it's not what it exactly seems to be. Even this, you know, this Al-Qaeda leader saying, oh, we don't have time for an elections. I'm your new leader now, and we're just going with it. So my point is this. Why is it that this current administration is coddling up to individuals like this, Qatar and others, the Saudis as well, and we are too afraid to refer to Islamic terrorist attacks as Islamic terrorist attacks?
It's the power and the strength that continues inside the bureaucracy, Brianna, of those, some people call them neocons, of those that want to continue the endless war policy. This policy with al-Shara being the president of the new Syria and the ousting of Assad himself, who was a, whether you like it or not, was a stabilizing force that actually protected groups like the Christians and the Alawites that prevented the atrocities that we've seen happen since the fall of his government have occurred over and over again. And this is just the latest with the deaths of these two soldiers and this American interpreter here. So that is the problem, is we still have too many of those inside this government, and they're able to, they're so influential that they're able to push the information to the president and to his staff and to his cabinet, to the vice president's staff, to convince them that they need to continue with this because it would be more destabilizing to back off from it. But we just printed the national security strategy that calls for exactly that, and we have a process ongoing for withdrawing Americans from Syria. So you get this dichotomy of differences in communication and messaging, and I'll just touch on it and say one more time, this is Islamist terrorism. Islamists try to conquer wherever they're at when they've gone into a place where they're unbelievers, like the United States of America, like Australia, like Europe, what is happening with Europe, which we are facing the demise of Western civilization because of this infiltration, and we have to take it on. The first step in taking care of a problem is you have to acknowledge you have it. And it is Islamism as a tyrannical ideology that is trying to get a foothold, and it does have a foothold in the United States of America. We need to start focusing inside our borders as we secure our own hemisphere and secure our borders so that we can get after it. Because I don't know if you saw it or not, but last week in testimony, Joe Kent, the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, said there were 2,000-plus confirmed Islamic jihadis from the Afghanistan refugee pool, and there are 18,000 suspected jihadi terrorists inside the United States of America.
Well, Colonel, you actually
go armed everywhere.
We actually, you and I think alike, because I actually had that clip ready to go for you next. So let's play clip 14, where Joe Ken, who obviously is the director of the United States National Counterterrorism Center, details just that. Take a listen.
However, we have a persistent threat from the individuals that were allowed into this country by the previous administration. The number one threat that we have right now, in my view, is the fact that we don't know who came into our country in the last 4 years of Biden's open borders. What we have identified is alarming, and I want to share that with you today. We just recently put out a warning of the heightened risk of terrorist attacks posed to the homeland by terrorists pretty much of all stripes, but in particular from ISIS and from Al-Qaeda. NCTC has been crunching the numbers and going through the sheer volume of known and suspected terrorists that are in the country that came in under the Biden administration. So far, NCTC has identified around 18,000 known and suspected terrorists that the Biden administration let come into our country. These are individuals who under normal circumstances would never be allowed to enter our country because of their ties to jihadi groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yet the Biden administration not only let them into the country, and in many cases facilitated their entry into the country, just like the entry of the Afghan terrorists who committed the terrorist attack here just before Thanksgiving, killing one of our National Guard members and wounding another. That Afghan was brought into the country as a group of over 100,000 Afghans who were brought here during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These individuals, despite what has been reported, were not vetted properly to come into the United States. The individual terrorist who committed the attack in D.C., he was vetted to serve as a soldier in Afghanistan. The Biden administration essentially used his tactical level vetting as a ruse to bring him here and to bring him into our communities, and we've seen the tragic results of that. Now, that Afghan, that attacker, that terrorist is just one of 88,000. We've identified 2,000 of that group of 88,000 who have ties to terrorist organizations. We're working right now hand in hand with DHS and with the FBI to run down this 2,000, the Afghans who came here under Allies Welcome who have ties to terrorist organizations, and additionally the other 16,000 individuals with ties to terrorist organizations that Biden let into our country.
All right. So obviously this has been an ongoing issue, and I'm trying to dig more and more into this because we know when these individuals were brought into military bases, they actually did carry out, some of them obviously, sexual assaults and physical assaults on both women and children. And sadly, the Biden regime worked very aggressively hard to suppress all that information from coming out. So we're working our way back to claw back at that and find out more information. But just, we got about 2 minutes left, and I'll let you kind of run with this. What do you expect now that these individuals are still in our country? We've caught a couple dozen of them, but again, they are just running rampant throughout our country. Do you think there's a heightened level of security that we have to kind of go by right now because we don't know where these people are?
Yeah, absolutely. We need a heightened level of security. And quite frankly, every state governor and every state National Guard should be offered up to work with the Department of Homeland Security and the NCTC under Joe Kent there to help find these individuals, get them detained, and get them deported out of this country because they do not belong here. Most Islamists do not belong in the United States or any Western country because Islamism is antithetical to Western civilization. It's certainly antithetical to the Constitution of the United States and the values and the declaration that underpinned it, that ironically we're celebrating the 250-year anniversary of the signing of the Declaration, which spells those values of individual freedom and liberty out that Islamism opposes, and we have to fight it. If we don't do this, then we will lose this country just as Europe is losing its countries and the UK is well on its way to losing their country. And so apparently is Australia. We have to fight it.
Yeah, we have to fight it. We have to fight it. And I think the key point to this is also, like you just said, you know, Islam is not a religion. They like to use the First Amendment as a way to validate their Muslim compounds that they're building all across places like Texas. I know that's one of their main arguments here right now, and we need to keep pushing that. That it is not a religion and continue to drive that point home. Colonel Rob Madness, thank you for joining us today. Again, folks, to our audience, give him a follow on X at Rob Madness. Again, folks, on X, he also hosts the show, The Rob Madness Show, which airs on Worldview Tube Network. And that's through Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you for joining the show today, sir. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Brianna. Appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, I want to remind you, today's the last day. If you want to get a Christmas gift over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, now is the day to do it. There's no more delaying this. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's 40% off the entire site. That includes supplements, apparel, and more over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. It's the final day.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, It cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic Frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at mypillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to mypillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents. You guys, you can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels. It actually worked. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product, and not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to mypillow.com/Alex, and it's a win, win, win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us right this second. We've been diving into a lot. This was a very tragic weekend all across the world. So much happening. We've been trying to keep you up to date with the very latest, of course. But, you know, watching what happened in Australia was really devastating, was truly devastating. As many of you guys know, especially here on InfoWars, we've been warning the world for quite some time now about mass migration and the mass migration that has taken place throughout the West in regards to Islam being imported. Now, of course, many individuals, you know, debate exactly what's the cause of all of this. But the reality of it is those who are just innocent bystanders are the ones who are subjected to the terror. And sitting down and watching what happened yesterday in Australia was absolutely devastating. People who are just trying to simply enjoy the first day of Hanukkah with their families were slaughtered on a beach. They were doing nothing but just trying to celebrate the holiday. Regardless of your religion, you should be able to do just that. You shouldn't have to worry about there being a father and son duo who is going out there and trying to slaughter people because he disagrees with their religious beliefs. Now, let's not back down from this. Let's highlight the fact that these are Islamic terrorists, although those in our current administration refuse to use the word Islam when detailing the terrorist attack that took place in Australia. We will not shy away from that. It is very, very clear that these two men, who according to reports are Pakistanis, who were on law enforcement's radar, one of them was at least, he's apparently confronted 6 years ago. These are Islamic terrorists. Islamic terrorists. This was preventable if you did not import people that hate you to your country. And, you know, I want to keep driving home this point that these are people who hate the rest of us. And we keep bringing them into our own countries. We've seen the attacks here on U.S. soil, and now we're seeing them, of course, abroad as well. I want to play clip 15 for you because these are the kind of people that Australia has imported. Take a listen to one of these Islamic scholars who is literally preaching and calling for a jihad. Take a listen to clip 15.
We can't take away from the fact, first and foremost, that jihad is definitely part of our deen. And as Muslims, we should never ever shy away from this. And yes, there may be types of jihad, but of the peak of this jihad is that which the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, and I'll read the hadith soon. And that is fighting in the path of Allah azza wa jalla. A physical fight, not the fighting of the nafs. Although your nafs is needed in order for your physical to go out in the path of Allah. So we're not talking about the struggle of the nafs, we're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to make the word of Allah azza wa jal the highest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to, which means, not equal are those believers remaining at home, other than the disabled, and the mujahideen, who strive and fight in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred the mujahideen through their wealth and their lives. And for those who remain behind, by degrees. And to both Allah has promised the best reward. But Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain with a great reward. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of everything, is telling us who he prefers. And Allah azza wa jal prefers those who go out and fight in his path, and he prefers them over those who sit idle.
Well, folks, those are the kind of people that Australia has apparently imported. Now, again, folks, we just keep reporting on this. It's happening all over the world. It's not just Australia. It's happening here on U.S. soil, of course, but we're late to this game, and we have enough time to save this country now. It's whether we have the guts to call it out and do just that. Well, that's up to the people of this country. Enforcing our government to comply with our demands, that needs to start happening. Joining me to discuss is Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch. He is also the author of Holy Hell, Islam's Abuse of Women and the Infidels Who Enable It. And he is with us now. And it's an honor, of course, Robert, to have you on the show. It's just sad that it has to be under these circumstances because we saw what unraveled over the weekend in Australia. And it looks like the update is, I believe, 16 have sadly lost their lives. And these were just simply people enjoying a holiday, obviously the first day of Hanukkah, with their loved ones, with their family members on a beach when they were shot by these two Islamic terrorists who, again, multiple reports are saying that these individuals came in from Pakistan, and the government's not obviously confirming this, but I've seen reports that they were going back and forth, the son at least, to Pakistan and then back into the country. He apparently 6 years ago was confronted by law enforcement because they did have their suspicions as well. What are you hearing in regards to all of this and just your overall reaction to the news?
Well, in the first place, it has to be emphasized, Brianna, that these were trained
jihadis. These were not just guys who somehow came into the possession of some guns and decided to open fire. It's very clear from the video that particularly the son has military training. He likely, from reports this morning, it seems as if he got it from jihad elements in Pakistan. And the Australian government was either completely indifferent to that fact or unaware of that fact when it let him into the country. Neither one of those is excusable. They should have stopped this guy from entering the country at all, unless they really just don't care if there is jihad activity in Australia. And I think, unfortunately, that that's the case, that the mass Muslim migration, unvetted migration, including jihad terrorists, is so large and extensive in Australia, in Europe, and in North America. It's got to be. These people are either stupid or evil who are running our countries. I think it's harder and harder to escape the idea that they are indeed evil. They want to bring this upon the native populations in the pursuit of their socialist, internationalist megastate that they want to create.
Yeah, and I want to keep highlighting this point that the Australian government now, the Prime Minister specifically, has been calling now, using this terror attack to call for stricter gun rights. Now, he has no problem calling for stricter gun rights when they already have the strictest gun rights in the world. Australia does specifically, and only about 6% of households in the country do have firearms. He's calling for stricter gun rights rather than stricter migration rules, regulations, standards. This is deeply, deeply concerning. When you look at the population of those who they've imported over these last few years, they've taken in over 600,000 Muslim migrants. And the fact that he's calling on stricter gun laws, you know, Robert, I'll be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. I believe that that's the reason why a lot of these people go unvetted. They could sit there and they could crunch down on people's rights to carry a gun. And although the Australian government doesn't consider it a right, I have to wonder, well, how do you sit there and put your people through this and have them so vulnerable? You know, we're hearing reports from one witness. We played his clip early in the show, who claimed that law enforcement for 20 minutes was just standing by and didn't engage with these two terrorists. And for 20 minutes, these armed officers did not engage, even when he was loading up another magazine, according to that specific witness. That's exactly what he quoted, saying that he sat there and watched as this individual was loading the next magazine. The police didn't do anything to respond. They sat back. I mean, what do you make of this? They're pushing for stricter gun rights, or gun laws, I should say, rather than stopping this mass migration.
That's exactly it. Like I said before, they're either stupid or evil. I don't think they're stupid. Mm-hmm. They want the native population disarmed. They're using this as a pretext to do that. The guy had already had an illegal gun. He wasn't carrying some gun that he obtained legally. So new gun laws are not going to stop people like the shooter from yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're only going to make the populace further vulnerable to attacks of this kind, as well as easier to clamp down on in terms of the authoritarian control that these leftist governments are seeking. And yet, when you mention the 600,000 migrants, it has to be emphasized. That clip you played of the Muslim cleric, where he's saying that Allah likes violent jihadis more than he likes people who sit at home, that's not his opinion. That's not extremism or something. He was quoting from the Quran. Mm-hmm. He was quoting from the Islamic holy book that all Muslims believe in. It doesn't mean every Muslim is going to take up arms in jihad, but the idea that the jihad in the Quran is peaceful and that the vast majority of Muslims reject violence, actually they read from this holy book every day that tells them it's better to be violent than not to be violent. The West is going to be paying the price of this for generations to come and may not survive.
Yeah, and Robert, that's the devastating part in all of this. You know, I don't think people understand that. I don't think people have cracked open a Quran themselves. There's over 100 verses in it that preach violence against non-believers. And if you are someone who truly believes as to what's in that Quran, you have to be, as they always call them, radical. But you have to be the one who's following it. I mean, there's just no other way. There's no other option than if you are actually following what is in that book. I want to play clip 16 because this actually comes from 2017, according to the individual who posted it. Actually, this is Alex Jones who actually said it, so I should say that. But the UAE, one of their officials, actually predicted what we're seeing play out now in the West due to our desire to be politically correct. Take a listen.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
It is pure ignorance. You know, I was sitting at the Pentagon right next to Laura Loomer, and she was calling it out nonstop about how our own administration right now refuses to use the word Islamic terrorist attack when there is an Islamic terrorist attack. And she has been going around trying to get members of the administration to detail why they refuse to do just that. They're trying to be politically correct. And no one really wants to give her a response. Now, I also saw over the weekend, you know, sadly, our FBI director, Kash Patel, detail what took place in Australia, but again, totally omitted the word Islam. And he's done this on three separate occasions as well. And then we saw the vice president put out a tweet. And again, I don't know if he wrote the tweet or someone in his administration did, but there was a tweet put out from his account that, again, talked about what happened in Australia, but refused to use the word Islam. Why do you think that under this administration, who I knew back in 2015, President Trump had no problem calling out Islamic terrorist attacks for what they were, why are we all of a sudden unable to use that word?
It's the biggest disappointment of the second Trump administration, and it seems to have come from a Qatari influence operation. There are numerous reports that the government of Qatar years back started targeting people in Trump's circle and trying to change their minds to gain influence over them. It looks as if it's been supremely successful. Of course, it was aided by the fact that President Trump is himself by nature a pragmatist, a deal maker, the art of the deal and all that. He doesn't value ideology so much as he does the idea that everybody can be gotten to on some pragmatic grounds, and so everybody can be made a deal with. And that may be true to a limited extent, but I think that the administration is underestimating the power of the idea of jihad in Islam and among the Muslim people that he's dealing with, particularly the Qatari government. And that he does not realize that ultimately this ideology is going to make a deal impossible and is going to assert itself in its supremacist, violent, aggressive aspects so that there can be no equality between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Islamic law does not have any way, if Islamic law is applied, to allow for equality of rights between Muslims and non-Muslims. And so the more Muslims we get into the United States, the more Islamic law there's going to be, and the more people will be pushing for elements of Sharia in the United States, and that will ultimately mean the destruction of the American Republic and the subjugation of the non-Muslim people with denial of their basic rights. And people think, oh, that will never happen here. Well, what on earth is preventing it when everybody is in denial and everybody's afraid even to enunciate that fact and to call out that problem?
Yeah, and that's the real issue I have here too. And you know, we're watching though, Texas and Florida so far have designated the Muslim Brotherhood in CARE as terrorist organizations, and so we see key steps there being made, but is that truly enough?
Well, no, it's a very good start.
Yeah.
It's great to see because CARE has tremendous influence politically, and there's so many witless politicians, both Democrat and Republican, who line up to get photo ops with CARE officials to try to court the Muslim vote. They have no idea what they're dealing with. And so DeSantis and Abbott are to be commended for taking the bull by the horns and calling this organization out for what it is. It's a sinister, subversive, anti-American organization that is working actively for the destruction of the United States, and consequently, that's all to the good. But there need to be 48 more declarations of CARE as a terrorist organization by each state. It needs to be done on a national level. President Trump recently, he didn't declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. He opened the inquiry into the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon, which are not the sinister Muslim Brotherhood. The real dangerous Muslim Brotherhood is out of Qatar and out of Turkey, and he didn't touch those. And that's the one, those are the ones that have the influence in the United States. So we need to get a designation of the Muslim Brotherhood as a whole and its allied organizations like CARE as terrorist organizations nationally and in every state. And then it needs to be enforced such that politicians, instead of running toward these groups and acting as if they are the civil rights organizations that they claim to be, and courting the Muslim vote through them, they will treat them as poison, which is what they are, and stand up for American values, which is what they're trying to destroy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very important that we drive that point home. And, you know, as you bring in Qatar, I also want to highlight to our audience, you know, Loomer was also reporting that sadly the Qatarian government was also is going to be helping fund the Kennedy Center as well. And so, again, they are buying access into this administration, and it's happening right before our very own eyes. And it's really frustrating to see play out. But, you know, Robert, I want to get your take on this because you've been fighting this battle for many, many years now. And you understand how we win this war and how we push back on all of this. I want to get your take on this. I'm not going to say the name, but there's an individual out there who's provoking the Muslims that do live in this country right now. You know, I live, and it's very public now because of something I went through, but I live in Plano, Texas, and there's obviously a lot of Muslims who have moved into the area over the years. And specifically, you know, Amy Mack has done an incredible job at exposing EPIC, which is the East Plano Islamic Center, has caught national attention. And so we saw over the weekend a group of individuals go to the area and try their very best to provoke those who are over at EPIC. And I saw unravel before my eyes on social media. It was a group of individuals, you know, carrying a baby pig and carrying the Quran. And they've done several things, disrespectful things to the Quran, which obviously Muslims will see as disrespectful, and it will infuriate them. But it also, I think, makes them appear to be victims. It makes them look like they are being targeted by these individuals. Do people who protest, or they say it's a protest outside of these areas like Dearborn, Michigan, and Plano, Texas, do they do any good for our movement to crunch down and to stop this radical Islam, or just Islam in general, from flooding into our country? Because it seems like we are making them look like victims when we're sitting here and we're provoking them by disrespecting something that they deem as the Holy Quran.
Well, you're absolutely right, Brianna. I mean, I'm a strong proponent of the freedom of speech. I think that if somebody wants to burn a Quran or something like that, that's something that ought to be protected by American authorities under the law as a matter of the freedom of speech and freedom of expression. But when you're just talking about, you know, carrying pigs' heads around or something like that, then I gotta wonder if these groups are not being put up to it by the Muslim organizations themselves, because the Muslim organizations know very skillfully how to manipulate the status of victimhood, which the left, of course, makes a fetish out of. They just can't get enough of victimhood, and anybody who's a victim is a big hero on the left. And that's why you get so many fake hate crimes. And CARE, for example, is a practiced, a long-standing practitioner of forwarding, publicizing fake hate crimes and so on. And so we can't play into that. It's very important to focus on the fact that there are elements of Sharia that are flatly contradictory to constitutional principles. And that's what we should be driving home to the American people, not just saying, giving the impression that we don't want these people around because they do things differently from us, or they look differently. That just plays into the whole idea, the whole false leftist narrative that this is all about racism and bigotry.
Yeah, and that's the part that's really concerning. You know, you've mentioned CARE, and they've called Amy Mack out repeatedly, first name, last name, and they continue to do that because she's doing incredible work, and then they play victim to all of this. Now, it's my opinion that they are not victims to Amy Mack. All Amy Mack is doing is exposing what she deems as the truth in her reporting, and they just don't like that from getting out there. And so I'm someone who does not like the fact that we could give them a little bit in regards to using that victim card. And I try not to feed the pigeon, as I always say around here. So I agree with you on that, Robert, and it's deeply, deeply concerning. But when it comes to this key issue, which so many Americans, Christian Americans specifically, are very focused on right now, we've got a lot of people who are jumping in this fight who may have not been here 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but they do want to stop and prevent this Islamic threat from just spreading all across the country right now. How do we win this fight?
I think the main thing we have to do is just what I said before, show that Sharia is incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. But above all, we have to have the courage of our own convictions. If we just enforce existing laws, we would go a long way toward winning this fight. You know, for example, female genital mutilation has been illegal in the United States, and a couple of doctors went on trial for it in Michigan a few years ago, and then a judge dismissed the case because he said it was their religious freedom to do it, because it's part of Islam. Well, look, religious freedom was never understood in the Constitution as being some kind of a license to break other laws. And the Mormon Church found that out when the United States in the 1890s, the Supreme Court said Utah is not going to become a state until the Mormon Church outlaws polygamy. And nobody was saying, hey, you're violating our First Amendment rights. They understood that there was a limit to First Amendment rights when it came to the well-being of the American people and the survival of the nation. That needs to be remembered today when it comes to Sharia. And Islamic communities told on no uncertain terms, you're welcome to come to the United States, but you leave the jihad, you leave the misogyny, you leave the anti-Semitism at the door, or you'll be immediately deported.
Yeah, well, that's what we need. We need to start firing up people and getting them on this issue, because this is a top issue and it should be for so many Americans. Robert Spencer, you do an incredible job at Jihad Watch. So thank you so much for all the great work you do. And thank you for joining us today. It's been very, very insightful having you on the program. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that is Robert Spencer. If you're not following him next, I highly recommend you do, as well as grab his book, Holy Hell, Islam's Abuse of Women and the Infidels Who Enable It, of course. It's a great read. He does incredible work, and he's written several great books. So if you're interested, definitely head on over there and make sure you grab yourself a copy. All right, I got my eyes on a couple of things going on right now. So we'll keep you in the know. I saw President Trump just recently release a Truth Social post, and I'll get to that in a moment. I wanted to get to this first, though. Ilhan Omar, as many of you guys know, she is just scum of the earth. In clip 17, she's praising Australia for their gun control measures over the years as if it's actually worked. Take a listen.
We are following these shootings in Australia and in Rhode Island. There was a shooting in your district not that long ago, a mass shooting. This is... yet another bad day for America.
Yeah, I mean, we are still recovering from the shooting at Annunciation Church. It is a tragedy that this has become a normal occurrence, not just in the United States, but now seeing it in Australia, who's worked really hard to create gun prevention laws to prevent the kind of tragedy that took place today.
All right. As many of you guys know, she is just scum of the earth, praising Australia for their gun control measures that they've done over the years, which obviously clearly failed. And then when, you know, Australians, Jewish Australians, were begging and hoping that the police would stop these shooters by engaging with them, according to one witness, they waited 20 minutes before doing so. We've seen that time and time again when it comes to law enforcement, that sadly, so many of them buckle up out of fear and they do not engage. And so that's what we're learning happened in Australia, according to one witness. So failed gun control for the people, but for the government, it was always a win, of course. And that's why Ilhan Omar is praising just that. Folks, I want to remind you that today is the very last day for guaranteed shipping if you want to get it before Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is 40% off site-wide for a limited time. So stop what you're doing right now. Stop it. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com if you want your items before Christmas time, which I highly recommend, folks, because you're getting all the tough shopping out of the way. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 40% off supplements and apparel and so much more over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more coming up in the next hour. Plus, we're picking calls. So don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We have some breaking news to bring you as we kick off the third hour of the show. We just got an update in regards to the murder of Rob Reiner. As many of you guys know, he's the actor, producer, and director. Sadly, both him and his wife were killed inside of their Brentwood home in California. It sounds like yesterday they did send the fire department over there. It looks like their daughter discovered their bodies, and it was confirmed that both Rob and his wife were murdered. Now, according to the very latest report, their son, Nick, has been taken into custody. Now, they're also reporting that Rob was stabbed to death. According to Fox News, the son, Nick, is being held on a $4 million bond right now. So that is what's going on right now. It looks like, according to LAPD, that he has been taken into custody following the deaths of both of his parents, who were brutally, brutally murdered inside of their home. Now, Sadly, folks, the president right now has used this as an opportunity, and I don't think we should, but he's been using this as an opportunity to remind us that obviously Rob was not a supporter of President Trump, and we all know that. We all know that he was a crazy liberal. But sadly, just hours after he was brutally murdered inside of his home, President Trump decided to take this moment to remind us that he was a tortured and struggling, but once a very talented movie director and comedy star, and that he passed away. He goes on to call out his Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. And then he goes on to just criticizing him for just being critical of the Trump administration. He includes this tweet, which I think is completely inappropriate, by praising, obviously, the golden age of America, which is upon us. And then say, may Rob and Michelle rest in peace. Now, folks, Rob Reiner, obviously a crazy liberal and obviously saying some things that I strongly disagree with, but he does not deserve to get murdered. And according to reports, having his throat slit. None of these people deserve that. I do not believe just because I politically disagree with you that you deserve to have that type of brutal murder taken upon you. And especially when it's at your son, who apparently, according to reports, struggles with drug addiction. What that sounds like to me is two parents who truly did care for their son and wanted the best for him and were trying to fight. You know, so many of us know someone struggling with a drug addiction, and we know about that fight when you're trying to save someone that you dearly love from addiction. You worry significantly. And Rob Reiner, although we disagree with his politics, we'll play clip 18 for you because it's a reminder that even though we disagree with him politically, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, he stood strongly against that. Take a listen.
You first heard about the murder of Charlie Kirk. What was your immediate gut reaction to it?
Well, horror. Absolute horror. And I unfortunately saw the video of it, and it's beyond belief what happened to him, and that should never happen to anybody. I don't care what your political beliefs are. That's not acceptable. That's not a solution to solving problems. And I felt like what his wife said at the service at the memorial they had was exactly right. And totally, I believe, you know, I'm Jewish, but I I believe in the teachings of Jesus, and I believe in doing to others, and I believe in forgiveness. And what she said to me was beautiful and absolutely, you know, she forgave his assassin. And I think that is admirable.
Now, obviously, that is something that we should all remember, is how Rob treated the Kirk family after the brutal assassination of Charlie Kirk. We should have and extend that level of just humanity and sympathies towards his family as they have to deal with this, because no one deserves to die, specifically when you're trying to save your son from drug addiction, regardless of their political affiliation or their personal political beliefs. I strongly believe that we could all extend some type of kindness to their family right now. We could pray for their family, because obviously this is very, very devastating news for them. All right, folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the third hour of the show, we're going to be taking your calls as well in the second half. So if you'd like to get on the hold lines right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls, so give us a ring.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year, in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. It was a rough weekend. Very, very sad news cycle, of course. We've been covering all the stories that we want to make sure you know. The very latest on the things that the mainstream media won't tell you about, or the governments that have allowed Islamic terrorists into their country. They're trying their very best to suppress critical pieces of information, and they don't want the people to know that they've failed. Specifically in Australia, of course. We've been detailing that for you over the last 2 hours. And so we're getting ready to dive into some more headlines that I want to make sure you guys know about so they didn't miss the news cycle, of course, because so much was going on, of course. All right, let me give you guys a reminder. In this hour, we're going to be taking your calls. So in about, 25 minutes, we'll be jumping to the phone line. So if you'd like to join the show, maybe give your opinion, maybe you disagree with me on a topic we've discussed thus far, or you agree and want to add a little bit more to the discussion, call us right now, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We will be taking your calls in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I wanted to give you this update. I saw a report that was released. It was published by Fox, and it had me kind of scratching my head a little bit because I was deeply, deeply concerned. They're claiming that DHS is not arresting, and I misspelled, this was a typo. It was a very busy weekend for me. I was on the run. But in a tweet, I did call out how there was a report put out by Fox. And according to them, DHS is not going to be focusing on just kind of average illegal aliens, that they're specifically going after those with serious offenses due to the negative polling on ICE raids. Now, again, that was due to a Fox News report that was circulating over the weekend. So I reached out to DHS to hear from them directly. What are you guys doing over there? I wanted to know. What's going on? Well, they responded to me by saying, we have always been going after the worst of the worst first. There are no operational changes to announce. So kind of tells you that, yeah, there's a little bit of truth here. We'll have to wait to see the arrest numbers to see if they have stopped. They're no longer arresting, I should say, those who have less severe offenses. Now, I know they have been focused on obviously going after the most severe threats. That's no surprise, of course. So we've been focused on that. But again, if you're an illegal alien, you are here because you committed a crime. So it's whether or not they're going to go after those and deem those who are less severe than the others. Well, we'll have to wait and see when the data comes out on that, of course. I want to bring you a really just a sad update from a personal standpoint. As many of you guys know, I've grown to just love FBI whistleblower Steve Friend as a friend, obviously. He is a good human being, a great person, a patriot who stepped into the public space, the media world, because he saw something within the Biden regime that he deemed as unconstitutional violation of our rights. And he wanted to blow the whistle on it. And he did this country a great service by doing just that. I've been an ally to Steve Friend over the years and made sure that this current administration did Steve right. And they did. They brought him back in. They were, they did pay him out what was due after he did quit the agency. But sadly, we just got news and, you know, it truly is devastating. You know, Steve is, again, a patriot. He has a young family. And this is really just sad news. The former FBI agent, again, who was suspended and then resigned from the FBI back when the Biden regime was running the show. Well, apparently he has just been fired because Director Patel deemed comments that he made on ex-FBI agent Kyle Serafin, is also another whistleblower show, as a threat. And so Steve was just recently terminated. As many of you guys know, Friend, who was someone who just wanted to go after pedophiles and arrest them, was taken off of those duties and was shifted to go after J6ers. And that's when he spoke out, because his loyalty is to the U.S. Constitution, not the bureaucrats who are trying to use the FBI as their personal police force. Well, sadly, Friend was then pushed out of the agency by a suspension, and then obviously you need to bring an income, so you got to leave. And so Steve, in order to take a pay job, had to resign from the FBI. And the news itself is devastating, obviously, but it highlights the fact that this FBI does not like criticism. Doesn't like criticism. You know, we've seen the reports, Miranda Devine doing an incredible job at just that, specifically going out there and calling out both the deputy director and the director of the FBI for coordinating people inside, saying that they just spend too much time on social media and they care too much what's online. Well, obviously, this is true. This is true. And Patel signing the letter that terminated Steve Friend deemed what Steve Friend said as a threat and obviously leaked it over to the New York Post first, because he knew probably that Miranda Devine was going to get the story first, and so he gave it to someone else on her team. And, you know, that's that. So, again, it's very, very disappointing. I feel like most of these things can be resolved by having simple discussions. Obviously, Steve feeling like he's been wronged. He's been wronged on many levels. Just devastating to see Steve Friend, a great human being, a great patriot to this country, and to see this agency fire Steve is absolutely, absolutely devastating. One of the reasons why they didn't like him, though, is because he was talking about the J6 pipe bomber. Now, this one's going to get interesting. Folks, as many of you guys know, we did have the J6 chairman of that SLOC committee, Barry Loudermilk, on the program last week. And I asked him about surveillance footage regarding that J6 pipe bomber. And there's about 8 hours that's been clipped out and is MIA. It's across several cameras, 3 to 4. We just can't find 8 hours with the footage. Now, I asked him about that. We'll play that clip in case you missed that. But apparently now he goes on Benny Johnson and he says this in clip 9. Take a listen.
One of the things that has raised our eyebrows is as we go and we look for video on January 6th, because we want early morning video on January 6th to see, did anybody go back to these locations?
Of course.
Unfortunately, that video apparently doesn't exist anymore. We do have the January 5th video, but we've been told that no one ever preserved January 6th. So that does raise our eyebrows a bit.
It doesn't just raise your eyebrows, it raises mine. Because previously we had asked the chairman this question in clip 10. Take a listen. Our researchers have found that there's about 8 hours missing currently, and that's based on 3 to 4 different cameras that they're looking for. It seems as if the footage is kind of just missing, and the time, it's just like kind of clipped out, it feels like. But we don't want to make those accusations because we don't know if this is accidental or anything. Are you guys working on possibly getting that footage and making it public?
We are. We're looking at all the camera angles that were there. I mean, we had over like 40,000 of hours of video footage that we released in the previous Congress. And we're looking to, as we're finding out of different camera angles, also the dates that we had access to. We didn't have all of the 5th in the previous Congress, and we're weekly requesting more and more as we find out. So we are looking for more video footage. Anything that the Capitol Police have, they have been making available to us. So I think they're working in a good faith effort. Let me say this. The rank and file officers of the Capitol Police, for the most part, do a wonderful job. And they are very supportive of what we're doing, because those guys, they're very disappointed in what happened on January 6th, and I think they know it's a reflection on them.
Now, it looks like after we had our discussion, the chairman probably went looking for that footage, and it sounds like to me the footage was MIA. The footage is MIA. So now I'd like to follow up, and we will do just that, to figure out what's going on here. Does our government now plan on going after, see who deleted that footage? I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? You see footage of a pipe bomb and you delete it? Well, see, this is the problem. This is what adds to the conspiracies. That's why people don't trust their government, because our government continuously lies to us. You know, we're supposed to believe that they caught the suspect involved in the J6 pipe bombing. That's very hard to believe, given the fact that all the evidence that they claim that they have has not yet been put out there. We ask time and time again for more evidence, and sadly, they don't give us the evidence. They just tell us, oh yeah, we've pinned his phone to a couple locations about a quarter of a mile from the drop spots. We figured it was probably him. He bought a couple of things about a year before the pipe bombs were even laid down, but it's him. We got the guy. Again, the suspect in this case is someone who we've been told repeatedly by his family has developmental problems. He's a fan of My Little Pony. So it's really hard to wrap my mind around it. No, it's not. I think they're lying to us. I think they're flat out lying to us. I think our government is full of it. I think it's very obvious now that we could say with certainty, now that we know that the footage is MIA, deleted, that they did this intentionally. Probably whoever laid on those pipe bombs, we've been saying it for a while now, but now we could say it with a lot of confidence, is likely someone who was working for the government. This was a government operation. There's no reason why that footage would have not been saved, given the fact that, well, they almost killed their vice president, Kamala Harris, during that. So again, it's just more garbage that they're going to continue to try to feed us, whether you accept it or not, which we don't. I don't. But it's just sickening to sit here and see that the update is that the footage is MIA. It's gone, deleted. Can't find it. Criminal charges in a fair society would follow, but I mean, the DOJ just has so much on their desk these days. All these investigations going on. Nothing of substance, of course. And when they do bring a criminal prosecution to the table, it's so weak that 2 grand juries can't even indict the individual. Talking about Tish James, of course. James Comey, they get him on the simplest charge out of all the egregious crimes we've known that he allegedly committed. They just don't get him on anything. It's easier just to take the simple way out and just go, oh, we're just going to keep investigating these crimes. And we'll throw you a little bone every now and then. We'll give you lying to Congress when we know that they've committed other atrocities. I'm so tired of sitting here. I'm going to keep saying it, telling you all about all the garbage that was going on under the Obama-Biden regime. And then the people who are in charge now just don't have the cojones to go after these people. They're probably waiting till after midterms because they think it might not be popular. That's probably what they're doing right now, if they're doing anything. That's actually me being optimistic that they're actually doing something. You got to wait till midterms. This might not go over well for Republicans. The same Republicans who have done absolutely nothing to codify President Trump's executive orders, the 200-plus executive orders he signed. We've gotten, what, maybe less than a dozen signed into law. But we're supposed to just accept these little breadcrumbs they push our way and pretend like this is acceptable. I want to turn to another story, this one regarding DOJ. The DOJ filed a lawsuit in Atlanta against Fulton County specifically, obviously, the clerk of courts. This is all about the 2020 election, including what they're seeking specifically. Is all used voided ballots, ballot stubs, absentee ballots, signature envelopes, and the corresponding digital files. Wonder what they're looking for there. You see, Fulton County doesn't like it when you criticize their elections. In fact, they'll cook up a RICO case against you if you do just that. But it looks like the DOJ is alleging that there was a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1960, which requires these county clerks to retain these federal election records. And since Fulton County's not turning it over, it's very, very likely that they, in fact, probably don't even have it. Again, if you're going to steal election, you're probably going to want to mass delete all the evidence, of course. And given the fact that Fannie Willis has, well, she's done some questionable things over the last few years that have been called out into the public sphere. It's very, very likely that, yes, you would mass delete anything that would potentially be incriminating. But President Trump in clip 11 seems to think that he has a ton of evidence coming our way soon that the 2020 election was stolen. Take a listen.
That's all. They're good at cheating in elections. Very good at cheating. They're professionals at cheating because we won in 2016 by a lot. The election was rigged in 2020. We have all the ammunition, all the stuff, and you'll see it come out. It's coming out in truckloads. But
well, we'll be waiting because we'd love to see some of that evidence. It's been long overdue, folks, long overdue. Some people's lives have been ruined, whether it was the prosecutions, the lawsuits, everything. And then given the fact that Republicans haven't done anything as they control three branches of government, the president obviously advocating for safer and secure elections, we're not seeing much come out of the House or the Senate to back up the president's calls. So again, as we sit back and watch, we have Republicans who are just going to run on the promise, well, we need you to vote us back in so that we could do all these great things for you. And the president not really applying enough pressure for House Republicans to prioritize all this. They did, though, to give them credit, condemn socialism in the House. I mean, that was a top priority. It's like a participation award. They're just running out the clock, of course, and they're hoping that you're just dumb enough to follow the trail of breadcrumbs they're leaving for you to midterms. Because these scumbags are doing absolutely nothing to further President Trump's agenda, and there were some great executive orders that he did put up. But then also, they just fail to do what the American people want them to do. Like securing our elections, which some would say is a top priority if you truly did sit back and watch what happened in 2020 and wonder, well, how many water pipes can actually break? Were those people ever held accountable? No, they weren't. In fact, many were paid very hefty prices, given money, millions and millions of dollars. Well, that's the difference between the left and the right. The left seems to have a bit of a fight in them, and the right just buys time at best. I mean, we've done nothing to correct these issues. We continue to sit here and kick the can down the road. And when you ask for things, when you demand things, they just say, yeah, vote for us in the next midterm. We'll get it done then. It's all garbage. And when I say that all of these states, Republicans just fail to do the basics, Democrats do pull together on a lot of key issues on their side of the aisle. Those key issues being bringing in people who cannot contribute to our society, who are leeches to our system. They love to do just that. And so when President Trump decided to implement a policy where it's going to cost those H-1B visas, those requesting those visas, $100,000, which is supposed to obviously give Americans the advantage by charging these employers who are looking to outsource these jobs to foreigners. Well, 20 states are now suing President Trump over that $100,000 fee. But you guys know President Trump implemented just that in September. We got the very latest story written by Raw Egg Nationalist up right now on Infowars.com. But in it, he specifically details how they are trying to use that to stop President Trump from importing foreign labor. As many of you guys know, this was the president's way of pushing back on the systematic abuse. And H-1B visas were obviously supposed to be used for high-skilled workers, but they have not been. They've been abused. They're cheaper labor. And if you live in certain cities in Texas, you see it firsthand. It's not going to the best and the brightest. It's going to the cheapest, those who would sit there and slave away for their employers out of fear of being deported if they get fired. And so since the president is trying to push back on that a bit, I mean, I just would call for the end of H-1B visas, but he's a businessman, probably likes a little bit of his H-1B visa workers. Well, unfortunately for the rest of us, he's still looking to carry it out. And Democrats still aren't even happy about that. I would call just a completely nuke it, but those on the left want more. All right, let's go to this groundbreaking new study coming out from Stanford. All right, folks, I'm sure you didn't hear this one before. Stanford Medicine, well, their new study shows that the mRNA COVID jabs can cause heart issues. Oh, man. Here you go. The investigators have unearthed. I mean, this is like literally written in the article. Don't think I'm trying to sell you on this one. They're claiming that the mRNA jabs have created heart damage in some young men. Florida told you this years ago. The Florida government saying, yeah, this is causing heart issues in young men. We should probably put a warning on this. Their Surgeon General over there, and he was attacked for doing just that. But of course, now Stanford coming forward, it's like, oh yeah, there is a consistency here that we are finding. Trying to find, there was an exact stat that I saw this morning. I was reading through the article and it was just mind blowing. Okay, so the vaccine, the heart issues that are occurring, well, apparently, according to this study, it's occurring in one in every 140,000 vaccines after a first dose, and then rises one in 32,000 after you get the second dose. Obviously, as many of you guys know, RFK Jr. now wanting to put a label on these things, but the damage is done. I mean, think of all the young men's lives you've ruined who now have heart conditions. Many won't even be attributed to the vaccines, or the jabs, I should say, because, well, so many doctors fear putting out that VAERS report. They don't want to report these things. I know this personally. I've seen family members who have been injured by these vaccines, and when we advocate for them to fill out the VAERS report, the doctors refuse to do just that. They don't want to blame these jabs, because these are supposed to be the things that was going to save us. And they still are claiming that, too, with a straight face. They'll still tell you that these COVID jabs, once they rolled them out, all of a sudden the COVID numbers just dropped drastically. Not the fact that most Americans actually just gained natural immunity after contracting COVID. They can't credit natural immunity because that's what they were up against the whole time. The fact that all of us were able to, well, most of us, if you didn't have a medical issue prior, were able to work naturally to not have these issues. To not have to. I mean, I got COVID once. And the only reason I know I have it is because I lost my taste. I've never lost taste. And the only reason why I know I have it is because I took ivermectin and immediately went away. And they didn't want you taking ivermectin. In fact, I was actually one of the people who did participate in one of the studies that was being done in South Florida during all of this. And I was working for a corporate media outlet at the time. I remember one of the doctors we had on actually said, this was very, very early on. And he was Australian. He said, oh, Brianna, ivermectin is going to save us. And I said, ah, I don't know what ivermectin is, sir. And then he kept just telling me, ivermectin will save us from this pandemic. So when I was eating a buffalo wing and it wasn't spicy, I said, oh, this is going to be a bad one. And I called this doctor. And then he connected me to the folks doing the study, and I got myself some ivermectin. It's very unfortunate, though, that for so many people out there, our government withheld them from getting access to something as simple as ivermectin. You were labeled a conspiracy theorist. I was one of the very first people to actually take ivermectin for COVID-19. And I only had to take a test, too, so I could get the ivermectin for the study because they had to verify it beforehand. But, you know, Fox every day, in order to walk into their office, they wanted me as an unvaccinated employee to go upstairs and get something strapped up my nose to make sure I didn't have COVID. Now, I cheated the system, got a screenshot from somebody else who had to do it every day. and never had to get tested. But that was the kind of craziness that was going on all around the world. And so-called conservative media outlets participated in the propaganda machine. All right, folks, we got a more coming your way in just a bit. We're taking your calls. Give us a call if you'd like to jump on the line. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. In the meantime, it's the last day to get your Christmas orders in. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. When I asked Grok about the benefits of creatine, this is what Grok said at the end. Bottom line, creatine is one of the few supplements that consistently lives up to the hype for strength, power, muscle growth, brain function. If you lift weights or do any explosive sport, it's basically a no-brainer. But speaking of no-brainer, when you really study creatine, it's what it does for the brain and everything else in the body. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Now, you can front load with 20 milligrams for a week or so is what the experts and doctors and people recommend and fitness people. But after that, you just take one a day. And most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is it's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. And our incredible creatine gummies come in two flavors, sour apple and blue raspberry. Our sponsor, Big Leap, went through dozens and dozens of different formulations with top formulators, and this is hands down absolutely delicious. Now, these taste so good, you're going to have to hide them from your children. But if gummies aren't the thing for you, we've got the amazing pure powder. It's all available again right now at thealexjonesstore.com for up to 40% off. Again, this is creatine monohydrate. Look it up. It's the gold standard. And it is so good for your body. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
$10 billion more of your tax dollars. Look at me, I am your president now.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. I see we have a lot of people a lot of people on hold right now, so I'm going to do my very best to get down the list and get everyone on. This is a longer list than normal, so we're going to keep everyone as close to just a couple of minutes as possible so we make sure we get to all the callers on hold right now. We are keeping our eye, though, on the Vatican right now. They are doing a Christmas lighting ceremony, and we could all use some holiday cheer these days because it's been a very sad news cycle. So we'll be just kind of throwing in little video bits here and there as it goes on over at the Vatican, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. But let's start things up first with Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about this acid attack in Savannah, Georgia. And I just wanted to say, let's stop being politically correct. We always call them Muslims. We have an Arab and North African terrorist problem, and this woman being having acid thrown in her face is indicative of a Muslim attacks and how they abuse women and aren't covered up. And obviously, she was a beautiful young woman. But we have let's stop calling them Muslims. They're Arabs. That is the center of the problem. But anyway, the local media is lying by omission by not saying he's a Muslim or a North African, because I can tell by looking at him that he looks like a Somalian or North African. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Bart, well, thank you for calling. Yeah, I mean, I tried to get a good look at him. I could just tell that he's black and darker in skin tone. I have not been able to kind of see that. Listen, it does exactly like you say, that this is something commonly done in their countries, you know, these acid attacks. And looking at her, she's absolutely a beautiful woman, someone who has been described as dedicated to a church and has actually helped homeless people quite often. So she's very charitable. And so it's absolutely devastating to see, Bart. And I would agree with you. You know, once we get more information on this, and hopefully there's an arrest soon, because this type of animal should not be on the streets, I will bring you the very latest. We won't shy away from the names either, because, you know, we don't back down here on that front. But Bart, you're absolutely correct. And being that you're in Georgia, you know better than anyone. Georgia's also been infiltrated by these individuals as well. So, yes, yeah, you might be onto something. Although the suspect apparently is still at large, no arrests have been made. I do hope that they are able to quickly arrest this individual. So, Bart, thank you for calling. All right, let's get to Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, good. I survived the minus 20 degree weather for the last 2 days. So you're lucky to get to talk to me. I almost froze, but I just cranked up the heat, made sure it's 75 in the house. It was a little cold. Brianna, I want to hear more of your callers, but here's the thing. I'm going to talk to you about censorship. This is all about censorship. And even the last guy, what a great caller. The acid attack is censorship. It's about control. Okay. Here's what's really ticking me off about watching all this stuff over the weekend. This is like unfolding. I knew all the answers right before. As I'm watching it, okay, you see the thing in Australia. Okay, they're going to say Iran did it. The girl in the school, was she targeted? Looks like she's targeted. Because obviously the Australia thing, that's targeted. It's usually these things are targeted. Looks like that girl was targeted.
We're talking about Brown University, right, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Jelani thing. These things are all preventable. These things are all preventable. Look at the DEI going on over there. When you watch the first press conference with the school, you're looking, oh, my God, the round glasses. Then you look at Australia, the guy, round glasses. Okay, it's a giveaway. This is all contrived. This is, and it's about killing us now.
Yeah.
We have to face the fact. Everybody on Twitter, oh, I'm going to go get a gun. Girls are showing. Look what I got for Hanukkah. Exactly. We've got to take control. There's so much I could go through. I want to get to other callers, but people have to realize this is about the censorship. Everything involved here is about censorship. Look at Australia, too. Oh, first thing, what are they going to do? We knew it. Oh, too many guns. Well, you're the people. You just gave the jihadis the guns in a place where people can't have guns. This is contrived. It's a setup because they know when they give them the guns, it's just a matter of time before the jihadis use them just like this. Then they can take more of your... I'm going to leave you with this, the bologna sausage analogy of censorship. It comes from Ben Stein. I didn't make this up. Imagine you have a big bologna sausage, and that's your rights, okay? You're at the deli. Here's a big, brand-new bologna sausage. Now, when you go, he's like, hey, how thick do you want it sliced? Do you want it thick, medium, thin? You want it shaved, whatever? What they're doing, that's our rights. They shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it. Oh, you don't notice much gone. Oh, I still have a lot of my rights left. Shave it, shave it, shave it. Oh, it's still have a lot. Next thing you know, when that bologna sausage is gone, it's gone. That's what they're doing. Thank you for taking my call.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. And yeah, you know, maybe if Australia wants to really crunch down on these gun-related issues, maybe just restrict gun rights or gun, because they don't think it's a right, gun laws for foreigners. Maybe foreigners shouldn't get access to guns if they've been importing them, especially from countries that are known to have ties to terrorism. So yeah, Bill, I think we're onto something here. Thank you for calling. As always, I appreciate your time. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Tim.
It's a history flashback here from 10 years ago, December 2nd, 2015, and here was your headline. Radical Islamist couple murder 14 in San Bernardino mass shooting, and they injured 22 others. They were at a Christmas party for a place that they worked. They just decided they would, you know, put a bomb in a backpack and leave it there. And he's trying to set it off with his cell phone after they left and all this. But this was the worst terror attack on American soil since September 11th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And these were both, you know, Pakistani folks or whatever. And she had been going, you know, back and forth to Saudi Arabia and just on and on. But the point is, they were both, you know, radicalized and devout, you know, Muslims and so forth. But, you know, our president, Obama, said he would fundamentally change America. And at the same time, it's alleged he was having meetings with the Muslim Brotherhood at the White House. And now, you know, we somehow magically imported, you know, 180 countries worth of people in a 4-year period of time, to the tune of tens of millions, including millions of known gotaways, and God only knows how many unknown gotaways there are. And it just goes to show just how much mess a couple of folks could make.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Tim, you're spot on with all of this. It's so frustrating to see play out, and it's time and time again. We hear the same narrative over and over again. And they're even trying to suppress some of it, actually. And since we're on the topic of terrorism, we've got to feed up. I'll let you guys know when we could go straight to it, but it looks like the FBI is going to be holding a press conference at any second now over in Southern California, like I detailed to you, Tim. Looks like we have it now. We'll get to that right now. But it looks like they're going to detail how they apparently foiled a terror attack that was supposed to happen on New Year's Eve in L.A. Take a listen.
Threats and violence designed to silence opposing speech, limit political activity, and direct policy outcomes and prevent the proper functioning of a democratic society. In direct response to the president's order, the attorney general issued a memo to our offices implementing and mobilizing federal law enforcement to prioritize and counter domestic terrorism and political violence investigations. As a result of those directives, we built this case. Both my office and the FBI have invested substantial resources into investigating and charging these organizations. And if anyone does not believe that members of these groups are organized, sophisticated, and extremely violent, let me tell you about the plot in this case. The four defendants are Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. The pictures, I think we have them somewhere. We'll put them up here. Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. Zachary Aaron Page, 32. Dante Gaffield, 24, and Tina Lay, 41, each from the Los Angeles area. Each is charged with conspiracy and possession of an unregistered destructive device in violation of Title 26, United States Code Section 5861D. We intend to file additional charges in the coming weeks as we finish reviewing the evidence. The defendants are all radical anti-government members of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which, according to their own social media, is an anti-capitalist, anti-government movement that calls for their associates to rise up and fight back against capitalism. One of the leaders of the organization charged today was also a member of the Order of the Black Lotus. Carol described this group to her co-conspirators as everything radical. As detailed in the federal complaint, which we will now make public, in November 2025, Defendant Carroll created a detailed bombing plot to use explosive devices to attack five or more locations across Southern California on this upcoming New Year's Eve. Carroll and her co-defendant Zachary Page led the effort to obtain and build the bombs and to recruit others to join in their plot. Carroll's bomb plot was explicit. It included a step-by-step instructions to build IEDs or improvised explosive devices and listed multiple targets across Orange County and Los Angeles. Carroll also made clear her desires. She said, quote, what we are doing will be considered a terrorist act. Carroll and Page also discussed plans for follow-up attacks after their bombings, which included plans to target ICE agents and vehicles with pipe bombs. Carroll stated that those plans would, quote, take some of them out and scare the rest. Throughout early December, the co-conspirators discussed their plans during an in-person meeting in Los Angeles and through an encrypted messaging application. As part of the plan, the four defendants planned to build test bombs in the Mojave Desert. You're going to hear more details about the bombs they intended to build and how the operation went down in the desert here shortly from the FBI assistant director in charge. In preparation for the plan, the co-conspirators purchased multiple pieces of bomb-making materials and discussed their travel plans to the desert. Last Friday, December 12th, the defendants took a significant step to carry out their plans. They traveled to the remote campsite, which you're going to see some video of, in the desert, and they began unloading their bomb-making materials to assemble and test the bombs. They had everything they needed to make an operational bomb at that location, and they were subsequently arrested by the FBI before they could build a functional explosive device. Shortly after the defendants were taken into custody, the FBI executed multiple search warrants, including at the defendants' Southern California residence and other locations throughout the country. I'll highlight some of the items found during those searches over the weekend. For example, in Carroll's residence, law enforcement found multiple posters and materials associated with Turtle Island Liberation Front, including posters stating, quote, death to America, long live Turtle Island and Palestine, and, quote, death to ICE, Turtle Island Liberation Front. In Page's residence, law enforcement found a copy of the detailed bomb attack plan. This case is another reminder about the dangers that radicalized Antifa-like groups pose to people, public safety and the rule of law. Through the tireless work of our prosecutors in my office and our law enforcement partners, which you will hear from today, we disrupted this terror plot before buildings were demolished or innocent people were killed. But this is not the end of our work. My office is committed to extinguishing the far-left terror threats that we face and will continue to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The four defendants arrested will make their initial appearance this afternoon at the federal court in downtown Los Angeles. They are each considered innocent until proven guilty. I will now turn it over to the assistant director in charge of the FBI LA office, Akil Davis.
Good morning. Again, my name is Akil Davis. I'm the assistant director in charge of the FBI's Los Angeles division. As we're all aware, we've had a busy weekend in this country and abroad with bad news incidents one after another. Today, we are announcing a major victory in our collective effort to protect the American people. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force intercepted a scheme by members of a violent extremist group we believe determined to detonate explosives at multiple businesses on New Year's Eve. Last Friday, the FBI arrested four of those subjects near 29 Palms in San Bernardino County while they planned and rehearsed their attack. The four subjects are members of a radical faction of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, TILF, a violent, homegrown anti-government group. The subject arrested envisioned planting backpacks with improvised explosive devices to be detonated at multiple locations in Southern California, targeting U.S. companies. These bombs were to blow up at the same time on midnight this New Year's Eve. The plan stated that the IEDs would be complex pipe bombs. It included instructions on how to manufacture the bombs and contained guidance on how to avoid leaving evidence behind that could be traced back to them. Our investigation uncovered evidence in that the group would test the explosives in the desert. And we're going to show footage of that here in a second. We learned that the alleged co-conspirators had recently started acquiring precursor chemicals and other items necessary to accomplish this task. In recent days, the alleged co-conspirators discussed plans to travel to the desert on the 12th to detonate the explosive. Knowing this, the FBI's JTTF and the FBI Los Angeles field office staged multiple SWAT teams, special agent bomb technicians, our evidence response team, along with the FBI's elite hostage rescue team in the desert to disrupt this plan before any harm could occur. Because of this, we were able to disrupt their plan. All four group members were taken into custody without incident. The TILF Instagram account publicly posts content that advocates for violence against United States officials. A recent post called for a revolution and asked for supporters to organize and be ready. The FBI, as you have seen here, can also organize and be ready. We could not have accomplished these arrests without the exceptional assistance from our partners on the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I specifically want to thank the following agencies, as you see up here today: the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, the Los Angeles Police Department, the Palm Springs Police Department, along with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. I also want to recognize the following FBI field offices as this investigation crossed the entire country: the New Orleans Division, the Buffalo Division, Indianapolis Division, and the Boston Division, who, as you all know, have had their hands full this weekend. In fact, an additional was arrested by our partners at FBI New Orleans in support of this investigation. I will now turn it over to the Los Angeles Police Chief, Jim McDonald.
Well, thank you, and good morning, and we appreciate you being here today. Los Angeles Police Department is proud to stand alongside our federal, state, and local partners today to announce the arrest stemming from a coordinated domestic terror plot. The case underscores the persistent threat posed by extremist groups and individuals, as well as the critical need for law enforcement agencies to remain vigilant in protecting our communities. The successful disruption of this plot is a powerful testament to the strength of our unified response, driven by the collaboration and tireless efforts of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, along with our allied agencies. Together, we have prevented a potential tragedy and reaffirmed our shared commitment to safeguarding our communities. I want to personally thank the dedicated men and women from every agency involved. Their relentless work over the past...
All right, I'm going to pop in here real briefly. We'll go right back to that in just a moment. Just kind of give you some overview. But it started with the U.S. attorney in California, who kind of opened this up by saying, you know, thanks to President Trump, we were able to go after this group. As many of you guys know, he did give clearance and did want to make it a top priority that the government started going after these left-wing terrorist groups. Now, so many of them have openly for years now been posting their violent threats online. We've seen videos, photos of them, and it looks like, according to those in California now, that because of that directive that was handed down from the White House, they were able to go out there and unfoil this potential or foil this potential terror plot itself. Now, the goal here was to, according to law enforcement, was to put down these IEDs in five different locations all across Los Angeles. The group itself is called the Turtle Island Liberation Front. Apparently, it is a pro, this is according to the government, a pro-Palestinian group that is also sides with anti-law enforcement and anti-government views, as you heard there as well. They were also actively looking to target ICE agents. ICE agents now are waiting. We're to keep this going for you guys because I want to see the footage that they claim that they have. There was some type of training footage that the FBI claims they were going to be showing us during this press conference. So for those who called in, I want to thank you for your time, but I want to make sure that we don't miss that video, of course. So let's jump back into that press conference that's going on right now in California that's detailing that terror plot that they claim that they have prevented from taking place on New Year's Eve. Take a listen.
Working closely with our law enforcement partners, have been working around the clock to verify information, identify targets, and piece together this plot that you've heard described. Their strong investigative efforts, sharp situational awareness, and rapid response ensured that this threat was stopped before it ever had a chance to be carried out. I'm incredibly proud of the professionalism and dedicated showing by the men and women who worked tirelessly to bring this threat to an end before it could cause harm to anybody in our community. To our community, I know hearing about these incidents like this can be unsettling, especially in the light of the recent Brown University mass shooting and the Sydney, Australia terrorist attack. But today serves as a powerful reminder that strong collaboration between federal, state, and local enforcement, law enforcement, can prevent violence before it occurs. As we enter the holiday season, a time when families and friends come together across traditions, cultures, and beliefs, this incident is a stark reminder of the importance of vigilance and to be prepared at all times. Vigils whose goal is to divide us, to instill fear, and to target the very diversity that makes our country strong. I want to be very clear, this what you see here, this investigative work and the follow-up that's been done shows that they will not succeed. Our community's diversity is our strength, and protecting every member of our community is our primary duty. Whether you are celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, or simply gathering with loved ones, you deserve to feel safe. We are committed to ensuring that safety today and every day. We remain dedicated to protecting our entire community through ongoing intelligence gathering and threat assessments, strengthening partnerships across all of our agencies, engaging with the public to promote awareness, vigilance, and resilience. And finally, I encourage everyone to stay alert, trust your instincts, and report suspicious activity. And as we always say in law enforcement, if you see something, read something, or say something, your awareness, your eyes, and ears can help us protect the entire community as we did in this incident. I will now introduce the police chief of the Palm Springs Police Department, Andy Mills.
Well, good morning. And first of all, thank you so much, Assistant Director Davis, for the spectacular job that the FBI did on this case. We were just in a very supportive role only, making sure that the FBI had what they needed in the desert to execute their mission. But on a larger perspective, I just want our community to know that this gives me hope. It gives me hope because of the unified effort of all of law enforcement, from the sheriff's office to LAPD, San Bernardino sheriffs, and the FBI, working together to make sure that people like this are removed from the community so they can be prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office, to make sure that all of us can live in peace. And this is what our mission is to make sure that there's hope in all of our communities. So thank you very much for the spectacular job that the A-team showed up and did.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that obviously there's some disagreements amongst our agencies over things like immigration enforcement. But when it comes to other areas of law enforcement where it matters to keep the public safe, whether that's protecting the girls on Figueroa Street or the Palm Springs investigation, there is no gap in the cooperation between the federal government and local government. And we do thank the sheriff, the police chiefs, for your valuable assistance. It would be very difficult for us to do a lot of what we
all
do.
All right, I want to jump in here because we're up against a hard commercial break. And as many of you guys know, the Alex Jones Show starts next. Now, they'll be covering this extensively, of course, because, folks, it looks like, according to the federal government, they have just prevented a left-wing terror attack from taking place. We cover it all the time on this network. We're well aware of the terrorists that are on the left, of course, and exposing it is critical. Now, as you heard in the opening of all of this, this looks like this terror plot was only uncovered after President Trump gave a directive, and that was for the federal government to begin investigating these left-wing terrorist organizations. So according to them, that was prevented. Now it looks like they are playing the footage. They were claiming that there was a practice that was done. And keep in mind that they were trying their very best to conduct and create IEDs and explosive devices. And so that is what you're seeing on your screen right now. That is the practice that they were conducting, according to the federal government. Alex is going to be covering that in just a few moments, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over. It's last day to get your Christmas gifts in time over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over, 40% off site-wide for a limited time. Now is the time to get your Christmas gifts delivered straight to your door. That includes supplements, of course, and apparel. 40% off the entire store for a limited time. I'll see you here again tomorrow. The Alex Jones Show is next.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchess lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Sprint this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.